Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
4:03. Welcome in a Monday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, being presented by our good friends at Randy's Flooring. They've been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years. You can check them out at one of their showrooms, either here in Cedar Rapids or in Iowa City. 1600 AM, also heard on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. Boy, oh boy, we could not have lined up a better program for you today on the heels of a historic performance at the Masters in Augusta yesterday. Who better to put in perspective Tiger Woods' fifth green jacket and 15th major victory than the man who literally wrote the book on Tiger Woods? Armin Katain will be with us tonight at 5 o'clock. That is an interview that you're going to want to make sure that you catch. We talked with Armin when his book was initially released. It is out now again in paperback. The paperback release has a little bit of an update, but there's some story that is left to be told.
There's a final chapter after yesterday, right?
Yes. Now, there's more going on in the world than just Tiger Woods and the Masters. We're going to talk a little baseball today with Scott Merkin of MLB.com. He covers the Chicago White Sox. Turns out all Eloy Jimenez needed for a major breakout was to be on the big stage, the Big Apple, a series at Yankee Stadium over the weekend, and Eloy Jimenez breaking out in a big way. Plus, we did not get to audio last week of LeVar Woods and Chris Doyle, the Iowa assistant coaches, meeting with the media on Friday. It was a Tigerific Friday, a Tiger-filled Friday on the program. And so, as I said, shelf life. This stuff will have a shelf life. We talked about and dealt with the Tiger second round coverage on
Friday. I'm glad
we
did.
I am too. I am very happy. Plus, we're going to get an update on Alex's amazing weekend in Chicago and the fact that he's never going to sit in the bleachers at Wrigley Field again.
I can't
Don't ruin it.
Okay.
Don't ruin it.
No details yet.
Like somebody who's trying to avoid final round coverage of the Masters yesterday and wanted to watch the replay later on in the afternoon as they normally would with the Masters, which, by the way, the replay was more popular than any golf broadcast in the last 4 years, I think. Is that? We've got the statistics. We'll get into this coming up in just a little bit. I know there were some people who took umbrage with how the Masters was addressed last Thursday and Friday, and the fact that I chose to focus most of the coverage on this show on Tiger Woods. And
I'm glad you did.
Well, it turns out that there's a reason for that. Because Tiger is still, what is he, 43?
He is.
Tiger Woods is still the most popular golfer in the world. And he proved it once again over the weekend. And this win, his 15th major, unlike any of his previous wins before. Because this one came in the social media era. I know he won the U.S. Open in 2008, but Twitter, sort of in its infancy at that point, more people, I think, were on Facebook than they were on Twitter, and you just don't comment on things in real time. I have some friends that used to do that. They have since been out of sight, out of mind on Facebook. If you treat Facebook the way that you treat Twitter, I got no time for you. Facebook, periodic updates, appreciate it. The occasional right-wing meme, it's all good. Twitter, yesterday, made what took place at Augusta something beyond just history. I really think that living in the moment with thousands of people, millions of people, all watching the exact same thing and all commenting and sharing their thoughts at the exact same time, that's what made yesterday tremendous. And then you had glimpses of the old Tiger Woods, especially on 12, as Rae's Creek is rearing its ugly head once again and humbling the best golfers in the world, and there's Tiger. No problem. And from that point on, it was all over. For the most part, it was all over. That's when I felt, man, that guy that put $85,000 on Tiger at 14-1 or whatever to pay back $1.2 million, I think he's going to be in the... Have they come out and says... I speculated it was Floyd Mayweather. Who else puts 85 grand on a 14-1? I don't want to say long shot, but... So here's the question. How would you describe Tiger's win yesterday in one word? 319-366-1600. That is also the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertin and Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, bringing you the text line. We've got a Mulligan's gift card worth $30. We're going to hook somebody up with that throughout the course of the program today. But if you could describe Tiger's victory at Augusta yesterday in one word, what would it be?
Unprecedented.
He's won four of them before. This was number five.
It was number five.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
It's a story like I've never seen in my lifetime.
The Cinderella story.
A guy who has been in the public view for 41 years and all the twists and turns of his life, and a guy that was just so not likable, was just such a jerk for so long.
Yes, and I've been accused of being a Tiger fan over the weekend. I want to be very clear about this. I'm not really a Tiger fan. I became a Tiger guy for the weekend because I wanted to see that happen. I don't know how to explain it. I've put a tremendous amount of thought into this over the weekend. I was thinking about it on Saturday, even before he pulled this off. What is it about Tiger Woods that even though he is has an extremely checkered past and is not a good individual, this is not America banding together to root for Mike Trout or somebody who runs into a burning building to pull orphaned puppies out of the flames. This is Tiger Woods, a guy whose warts and flaws have been on display for all of the public to consume in books like Armand Cattain has written and on the cover of the tabloids.
We all have our warts. I think that's what makes this story relatable to everyone. And not all of our warts are on display for 23 days on the cover of the New York Post. Not all of our warts are covered for years and years and years and made into something that would be so embarrassing that none of us could possibly live it down for millions and millions of people to see. And not all of us respond to being a jerk and create a new, different version of ourselves after hitting rock bottom.
I like Tiger 2.0.
I do too.
Tiger 2.0 embracing his son.
I believe it's completely genuine as well.
And you saw, if you were paying close enough attention, as he was heading in after the final round, Zach Johnson and several of the other golfers waiting around for him and embracing him and celebrating with him in the moment. That doesn't happen 10 years ago, 15 years ago. That guy had one friend on tour. And that bridge got burned again. I believe Marco Mirra covered in Tiger Woods or Armand Cattain's book on Tiger Woods. As I said, I put a lot of thought into this over the weekend and what it is that draws people to Tiger Woods, even though you're not necessarily a fan of him as a human being. And I'm probably not the only person that came up with this. As a matter of fact, I think somebody else may have tweeted it and I retweeted it, but Tiger Woods is America. Tiger, there's not a single one of us out there who leads a perfect life. We're all flawed. We've all, for the most part, had trials and tribulations and fought and scratched and clawed to succeed. And some of us have been knocked down and got back up again. And he's persevered. And I think there's something to that aspect of the story, regardless of whether his wife attacked him with a golf club and whether or not he was loaded on Ambien and didn't know which side of the United States he was on. There's a redemption story here that I think a lot of people, and not necessarily enjoy, but we eat this stuff up.
It's a human interest story. It's not just your normal Hollywood scripted rags to riches linear type story. It's a flawed person. It's somebody who, you know, what's refreshing about this whole thing is it's 2019, but he didn't blame everybody else for his problems. He didn't sit back and say, this is this person's fault. This is this person's fault. He hit rock bottom and had absolutely nobody to blame but himself. But if you ask anyone around him who interacts with him and knows him, they will tell you that he learned from this and is the player that he is right now. So I think that's sort of refreshing in a day and age where everybody wants to blame all of their problems on somebody or something else, because that is just rampant. I see it daily. He didn't do that. And it looks like, from all accounts, he's become a better father. He's become a better person. He's become more likable to everyone around him. And I think that there's something in that, for a lesson for everyone, for all of us. And for the first time, people around him can relate to him. He's not just that machine, robotic-like figure that he was.
It's a good thing that we don't charge Hurtin and Stocker by the text, because they'd get a large bill, right? I'm looking at the text line. We got a lot of them to get to. But if you stay tuned, coming up in just a few minutes, you will hear, this is a historic moment on the airwaves. I captured this over the weekend. Honest to God, I have on my phone audio of the exact moment that my son discovered the game of golf. And I, speaking of bad parents, I subjected him to, I wanted to watch Tiger, and so did my son Thomas yesterday. He just wanted to watch Daniel Tiger. So Daddy got the big TV, Thomas got the tablet and YouTube, and we both watched Tiger. Now, Daniel Tiger, by the way, wears a red sweater. So I thought it was very appropriate that Daniel Tiger was dressed as Sunday Tiger. But before we hear my son and the exact moment that he discovered the game of golf and I exploit him for my own personal gain here on my show, let's get to Sonny in Iowa City, because there are a few listeners whose perspective on a wide array of sports I enjoy getting more than Sonny. So, Sonny, now that I have put more pressure on you than Tiger Woods put on Francesco Molinari and the rest of the duffers out there who had no chance in beating him yesterday, what's up?
That's very kind of you. Yeah, where's the Francesco Molinari story here? I think that what you asked earlier, if you could describe it in one word, it is relief. I think that without this win, the story doesn't get told. He needed this win at that tournament of all things. But I'm going to disagree with you a little bit about Tiger being America, because we rooted for Tiger at the beginning. We rooted for Tiger when he was trying to make the comeback. I mean, in any match that he was in, even in those awful years, if he was close, the ratings went crazy, because we just wanted to see it. And now we're rooting for him when he wins again. And I think it's because what America does is it roots for greatness. We want greatness. And so even when Tiger wrote the book on how to be a celebrity spokesperson by saying nothing, by just not taking an opinion on anything, we still rooted for him because we were watching greatness. But we also love to tear down our heroes. And so we got that too. And so we got to tear him all the way down to the bottom. But then what do we want again? We miss the times when we saw him as greatness. And so now we get it again. And so here we are in the greatness. And all we want now, we don't need to tear him down. We've already seen it. Now we want him to catch Jack, because that would really finish the story. But we needed this win. It was relief for everybody.
Oh, I don't think everybody wants him to catch Jack. I don't think everybody wants that, but there are a number of people who wouldn't mind seeing that. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but leave it to the Canadian to make the point that the underlying American story here is, yes, there was also the fact that we got to tear this guy down. And
to a certain extent, he tore himself down.
Yes, and you made that point, and I completely agree with that. 7-Eleven, I don't know what I said on
the first 10 minutes, 15 minutes of the show today to upset 7-Eleven, but people change, Todd. You have no clue what kind of person he is now. What have I said about Tiger Woods that isn't already on the record? And I didn't say anything about him as a person now, did I? Other than the fact that he's being hugged by the players coming. Was that what it was? The fact that he's being hugged by the players as he's coming off the 18th, and that wouldn't have happened 15 years ago? That's a fact. He had one friend on the tour, and that bridge got burned. Again, Armin Katane, look, this doesn't happen too often that we've got a guest on this program who's the definitive expert on Tiger Woods, who was on a national radio program earlier today. And he's here in Eastern Iowa with us tonight. I really hope folks can catch Armin Katane. And if you don't, you can go back and check out the podcast at kgymradio.com. Do we have here a moment of levity? This is the exact moment yesterday. I just happened to have my phone out, and this is not set up at all. This is not edited. I did not have my son repeat the following words. This is my son watching Daniel Tiger, the Iowa Public Television icon, who, by the way, will be at Veterans Memorial Stadium sometime in May. My son is very much looking forward to that. My son's watching Daniel Tiger. He's not paying any attention to what's going on the TV. Dad is getting semi-agitated, getting a little worked up because I'm starting to get into the final six holes or so. And this is the exact moment that my son, Thomas, discovers the game of golf. And I want you to listen to he could step right in with Jim Nance and provide color commentary. And I don't think anybody would notice anything different. Listen to the expert level of knowledge about the game of golf that my son drops on me. I don't know. He's watching Daniel Tiger. He looks up at the TV, and this is the moment that he discovers the game of golf.
He hit the ball. I went down the cup.
He hit the ball, and it went down the cup.
That's all there is to it, right?
And then he checked out. He's like most of America.
Well, he knows everything about golf now.
Well, he's like most of America.
And hopefully it goes in the cup.
When Tiger isn't involved in the game of golf. And again, to get into the ratings, and I made this prediction back on Thursday that the ratings were going to be tremendous. They were on Saturday. They were up 5%. And then yesterday, because of the time change due to the weather, which, by the way, created some hilarious. You want to read some funny comments on social media? Go to CBS's, I think it's the Good Morning America or whatever the Sunday news program is that didn't air, and you have some very angry human beings because their Sunday ritual got thrown off because they couldn't listen to George Will or some inside the beltway person pontificate on Pete Buttigieg. I mean, there are some very angry folks. Now, on top of that, they play threesomes yesterday. They're trying to hurry up and get everybody through because of the weather. And they've got this huge block of programming to fill in the afternoon because that's when the Masters normally air. So what do? They air the final round again on tape delay, and it draws a huge rating, a larger rating than we'll get into the specifics coming up after Armin Katane, because I don't have the article in front of me again at the moment, but it was something like largest audience for any non-Masters final round in the last 4 years total or something. And everybody knew what had happened already, and people still watched. Do you think the ratings are that way if Francesco Molinari or Brooks Koepka, which, by the way, Koepka was on 15, right?
Yes.
When Tiger made the putt on 16 and that mini roar went up. Would have been a huge roar if he would have sank it for eagle. But Koepka's getting ready to tee off and all of a sudden there's the roar. Do you think he thought he had a chance at that point? Do you think anybody on that course felt they had a chance at that point?
I think that was a very intimidating point, but this is the point that I will make.
He hit the ball. It went in the cup.
In fairness to golf and the guys that are on tour other than Tiger Woods, I think these guys being on tour at the same time that Tiger Woods is rejuvenated and back to playing championship-level golf is so unbelievably good for golf. I say this because when Tiger was in his prime, what did everybody say? Nobody has a chance because no one's as big as him. No one's as strong as him. No one has that killer instinct like he does. And all of these new golfers on tour that have found their footing since he has kind of been in this funk that has lasted over a decade have almost completely modeled their game after him. Look at Dustin Johnson. Look at Brooks Koepka, Tony Finau. Those guys are they're him, except now he's going head to head with them, and it's a complete other level of competition that he's ever faced, and it makes for incredibly entertaining golf.
I'm glad that you brought up Dustin Johnson, who is the number one ranked golfer in the world.
Right.
And this will, I think, drive home my point here. If you did Family Feud, if you went out and Richard Dawson or Steve Harvey or was it Richard Karnes who played Al on Home Improvement? I think he hosted the show for a while, but it's not actually them. It's some schlub producer who goes out and fetches coffee and we asked 100 people on the street, right? One of those things. That was actually Card Sharks, I think. We asked 100 people on the street, who's the number one golfer in the world? How many people would, and I'm not talking about going to Elmcrest Country Club or something like that. I'm talking about you're walking down downtown Cedar Rapids, you ask 100 random people. How many people could say Dustin Johnson? How many people would name Dustin Johnson? And how many people so out of touch that they would just grab the first name of a golfer that came to mind? How many people would say Tiger Woods? I think it would be pretty close.
Well, it's sort of the same thing. If 100 people saw Dustin Johnson on the street, would they think that he was playing golf? Oh, no, here this is just a tight end from the Tennessee Titans. I think that there would be a little bit.
He's setting up the next segment. God, you're good.
No.
Good God, nailed it.
Oh, I have to tell this story, don't I?
Yep. When we return, not only will we have a big board update, it is a big sports day in the city of Cedar Rapids, by the way. The Colonels and the Rough Riders both in action. Very rare on a Monday night. Kyle's going to tell you about that more on his next big board update. But Alex had a very unique weekend in the Windy City. And I do mean unique. Back with more after this.
Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative is committed to providing electricity that's reliable, cost-effective, and sustainable. Did you know nearly 60% of their electricity comes from emission and carbon-free resources? That minimizes the impact on our natural environment, which is good for everybody. How does Linn County REC do this? With their generation mix. It's a diverse fuel mix of coal, nuclear, hydro, landfill gas generation, wind, solar, natural gas, and oil energy resources. When Linn County REC members switch on a light or the computer, they know they're using more sustainable and environmentally friendly power. And with such a variety of energy sources in the mix, it also means increased reliability across a broad spectrum of conditions, including severe weather here in Iowa. The generation mix is good stuff, and just another one of the benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
Style is certainly influenced by the times and current tastes. In fact, during Hertin and Stocker Jewelers' 70-plus years, they've seen colors, metals, and stones go in and out of vogue many times. That history gives the Dickens family a keen understanding of what's modern and fresh now, and what's great and beautiful from years past. That's why they offer estate pieces. These previously loved jewelry treasures are nicely priced, and the collection changes regularly, so there's always something new to discover. And if your own jewelry box holds a few things that don't quite suit you anymore, bring them into Hertin and Stocker Jewelers for cash or credit to use in store for something new. Come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative is committed to providing electricity that's reliable, cost-effective, and sustainable. Did you know nearly 60% of their electricity comes from emission and carbon-free resources? That minimizes the impact on our natural environment, which is good for everybody. How does Linn County REC do this? With their generation mix. It's a diverse fuel mix of coal, nuclear, hydro, landfill gas generation, wind, solar, natural gas, and oil energy resources. When Linn County REC members switch on a light or the computer, they know they're using more sustainable and environmentally friendly power. And with such a variety of energy sources in the mix, it also means increased reliability across a broad spectrum of conditions, including severe weather here in Iowa. The generation mix is good stuff, and just another one of the benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
Come check out the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring products in eastern Iowa and save big during the Randy's Flooring Love Your Pet Sale. Now through May 4th, take up to 20% off pet-friendly flooring products from some of the best manufacturers in the industry. Carpet, tile, luxury vinyl, and much more. If it's a pet-friendly flooring product, it's on sale. The Randy's Flooring Love Your Pet Sale. Visit randysflooring.com to learn more and save big on your next flooring purchase. Now through May 4th.
Look alive, Coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K-12 school-sponsored athletics in Iowa, add getting your state certification from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood handles the required instruction and fingerprinting. Kirkwood coaching authorization and recertification classes are going on now in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. And now you can also take the classes online. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game.
Ah, the copperhead snake. It hisses before attacking. But that's not a copperhead. That's the Sullivan's RV freshwater tank overflowing into their black one, which is backing into their vent pipe, making for a very different kind of attack. One that arrives just in time for taco night. It's wild out there. When it gets too wild, Progressive has your RV covered. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
The Warriors start the postseason momentum with a win against the Clippers.
Finishes with a slam!
Now they square off in Game 2.
Tonight at 9 o'clock on 106.3 FM and 1600 AM KGYM. 4:31, welcome back in. We're going to get to Alex's fantastic, bizarre, strange week. I'm actually using some of the verbiage from the Describe Tigers win in one word. I did see Scrum Trelescent on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. That is an outstanding reference to a Saturday Night Live skit involving Will Ferrell. And if I had the ability to play that for you, I would do that here. I only have the ability to exploit my son's discovering the game of golf, unfortunately. He hit the ball. It went in the cup. It went down the cup, which I don't think is the proper jargon. But he's almost 3 years old. I've got plenty of time to work. Well, hell, Tiger was doing TV when he was my son's age. So
that's true. He was a year into it.
Thomas has some catching up to do, right? 319-366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line again. Armin Katane.
Oh, don't be like Earl, Todd.
Dude, I do not want to be that dad. This is probably a subject for another show way down the road, but I am already worried about my son getting involved in sports and what it's going to take for him to even play sports. Like, it's not like when we were kids, like when we were younger, and it's competitive at a very, very early age. And I don't know if I want that for him. But in the meantime, I'm going to revel in watching Daniel Tiger on the tablet, and he's in his own little world, and I'm in my own little world, and we sort of shared a moment. I have a picture on the couch of him and I watching Tiger Woods win the Masters yesterday, and all of this is covering up the big board update. We got to get to the big board update. It's brought to you by Alexander Lumber. If you're planning on a home remodel or just upgrading the windows in your home, it is the season. Check out their all-new window line at Answers by Alexander, the showroom on South Gilbert Street in Iowa City. Here's Kyle Mann.
The Iowa baseball team went on the road and took 2 of 3 from Purdue over the weekend to win its third straight Big Ten series. Cole McDonald allowed just 1 run in 6 innings while the offense scored early and often in the Game 1 victory on Friday. Then the Hawkeyes used 4 runs in the 8th inning to take Game 2 of a doubleheader on Saturday. Iowa next hosts Northern Illinois tomorrow afternoon. Iowa State football got a commitment over the weekend from 3-star offensive lineman Hayden Pauls of Emporia, Kansas. The junior 6'4" and upwards of 260 pounds chose the Cyclones over offers from Iowa, Nebraska, and Oklahoma State, among others. Tiger Woods, of course, is your 2019 Masters champion, but Cedar Rapids native Zach Johnson finished 5 over and collected a cool $26,000. The Colonels beat Burlington 8-3 on Friday and 2-1 on Saturday, but fell short of the sweep with a 6-2 loss yesterday. Interestingly enough, at 4-7, each of the Colonels' last 3 losses have come in games in which they outhit the opponent. This homestand continues this evening, although starting a 3-game series with Quad Cities. Quad Cities is acting as the home team because of flooding, and that game's going to start at 6:35. The Rough Riders are beginning postseason play tonight, hosting Team USA. Puck drop for that set for 7:05. And then after the show here on KGYM, we're going to have the Twins and Blue Jays on the North Gym. We'll join them very early in that game once we get off. And then at 9 o'clock on the South and Main Gyms will be Game 2 between the Clippers and Warriors in the Western Conference playoffs.
Two things really quick before we get to Alex's amazing Chicago weekend. One,
you can take this as long as you want, please. Please.
My old pal Mitch Garver is leading off for the Twins. He is batting at the top of the order. Mitch Garver is a catcher, and Mitch Garver is the first catcher to bat leadoff for the Twins since, and I'll pause here so that Mark Dukes can scream at his radio because I bet he knows the trivia answer. Butch Winniger did it, I believe it was 1980, so 38, 39 years ago. Mitch Garver batting leadoff. He's swinging the hot stick right now for Rocco Baldelli. Second thing, that Colonels series, the 3 games here against the Quad Cities River Bandits, it's a great deal if you want to get out to the ballpark and do it on the cheap because it's $5 a ticket and it's general admission seating. So it's about half the price of a regular Colonels game. You can get tickets for, I think, a lawn seat's $8 or $9, but if you're looking for something to do and you want to do it at bargain prices, the Colonels are on the road the next 3 nights, including tonight at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Alex was on the road this weekend, and I got some very interesting text messages and an exchange between Alex and I on Saturday. For those of you who listened to the program on Friday, you know Alex was going to do something he had never done before. He was going to sit in the bleachers at Wrigley Field. The first text I got was about people being belligerent to someone in a Stephen Piscotty Cardinals jersey.
Yeah.
Was this in the wedding party?
No, it wasn't. It was right. Some guy that...
Just
a rando. A random. I didn't know who he was. Okay. He was sitting, I'd say, about 7 or 8 rows in front of me.
I'm not going to completely stand up for Cubs fans' behavior here. But if the game involves the Cubs and the Angels, and you show up at Wrigley Field in a Stephen Piscotty Cardinals jersey, you are asking.
Oh, he knows what he was doing, 100%. Yeah, he knew exactly what
he was
doing.
You got to pay the troll toll, as Danny DeVito would say, as Frank on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Secondly, I get a text message, and it just says, never again. Never again. So you're going to have to elaborate on that one. So how bad was it?
You mentioned you wear a Stephen Piscotty jersey, you're going to pay a toll. I knew that this was going to be an experience, and there were going to be some people out there that were going to give it to this guy. I just didn't realize how much of a toll this guy was going to pay. I mean, it was 9 consecutive innings.
Did he give it back?
No, I couldn't really hear him. He'd turn around every once in a while and maybe say something under his breath. I just couldn't make out what he was saying. He had no chance. He could not defend himself because you go to a game and you think, all right, one guy is going to give it to him and everybody else is going to sit there quiet and look funny at this guy. No. It was one guy, and then it was another guy, And then there was that the other guy's kid throwing peanuts at him.
And don't do that.
And then it was like accidentally spilling beer.
Oh, man, I hate that. Okay.
And then it was yelling at the left fielder Fletcher, David Fletcher. Of the Los Angeles Angels. And
all those poor people paying money to see Mike Trout and he doesn't play.
Right. Like I said, you know that it's going to be an experience. You just don't realize the extent of what it's going to be until you sit in that section. And I will tell you what, I've been to a lot of ballparks and seen a lot of different sports, whether it's the NFL or college football, and that was right up there with any of the most angry group that I've ever seen.
I would tell you my Busch Stadium story, my old Busch Stadium story right now, but I'll save it for off the air because I don't think it's as interesting. Were you still there at the end of the game when Kyle Schwarber struck out?
I was not.
Okay. Unpopular opinion. He went. I watched the game in real time.
It was a tough call either way. I think he went,
and he was not happy about it, and that it's not the way that you want a game to end on. But at the same time, you can't even think about offering it a pitch like that, and it's an unfortunate way. And then yesterday's series was snowed out.
I do want to add this. There was a gentleman sitting to my left who was coming up with some really creative things to say to Mr. Fletcher in left field. And he kept doubting himself. Like the first thing he yells at, "Hey, Fletcher, your mom is hot." And I got a chuckle. I'm like, you know what? That's creative. That's better than the F-bomb laced.
Yeah, he's working PG.
Right.
Did he build up to PG-13?
No, but he goes, I don't know. Is that one good? I'm like, yeah, it was good. Try another one.
So you egged him on.
Try another one. Then he tried it again.
Those poor people.
And he says something else that was pretty creative, got a little bit of a chuckle, and then he doubted himself again and stopped for the rest of the game. Like, no, we need more of this.
Probably sobered up.
Yeah.
How was the food? I haven't sat in the bleachers in a while.
Okay, well, that was the other thing. The problem that I came across in the bleachers was that you go to your seat, and it was a capacity crowd. It was packed.
I felt bad because I gave you bad advice. I said, the Angels and early in the season and
right.
Trout's not playing. There's probably not going to be a ton of people.
It was nice and sunny.
I turned the game on TV and I thought, you know what? It looks absolutely packed.
It was nice and sunny. It was comfortable out even though it was 50 degrees. You're right in the sun. It was almost warm it's t-shirt and shorts weather.
Again, I told Alex, oh yeah, dress 20 degrees colder. If the forecast is for 50, you got to dress for 30 because you just never know. So I'm 0 for 2 on the advice here. So crowded that if you got up, you were going to lose your seats.
Correct. And we got up a couple of times to get some food. By the way, Todd, I don't know if you know this, but there is a new attachment in Wrigley Field just built to where if you have a bleacher seat, you can get to the rest of the stadium.
Really?
Yeah. You can't go from the rest of the stadium to the bleachers, but if you have a bleacher ticket, you go down a little flight of stairs right into the regular mezzanine
area. So that you can spend money at the souvenir store.
Correct.
And they can get your money in the stadium, and then they'll let you go back out to the bleachers.
See, I've been to Wrigley so many times, and I've sat in the regular area and the upper deck, and I guess maybe that contributed to, how bad could the bleachers be? It is a whole different world out there.
Matt in North Liberty has given us a call, 366-1600. He's got a bleacher story from the late 90s, it appears. Matt, what's up?
1998, the day that Tom Davis was announced that he was not coming back to Iowa to be the basketball coach. We went to Cubs Expos day at Wrigley, sat out in the bleachers, and I'm a huge Reds fan. I went with four or five guys from UNI when I was up there at school, and wore a Reds hat in the bleachers.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Here, I need to get the dump button ready, Matt?
No.
Okay,
no,
okay.
That's all right. But guys threw it. They took it off my head, and they threw it out in the outfield, and Vlad Guerrero stepped on it and smushed it. And some guy gave me $20 and told me to go buy a Cubs hat.
See, and it's fun. Matt, thank you for the phone call. That almost happened to a guy wearing a Yankees hat. I mean, it was... The hat was in the person's hand, about ready to throw it, and the guy just couldn't pull the trigger. And he gave it finally gave it back to the guy, but that almost happened.
There's a Cubs pitching joke in there, but I'm not going to make it. If he was accurate enough, they would have come out to the bleachers and given him a contract.
Like Henry Rowan Gardner?
366-16, and maybe, yeah, Ian Thomas, what's his name? See if he's up to these days. Maybe they can film a sequel and bring him out of retirement. I think I saw something. They were actually talking about doing that, a Rookie of the Year sequel. 366-16, or maybe he has spinal fusion surgery and comes back like Tiger Woods did to win the Masters. So then afterwards, you go out and you have an encounter that only Alex Kuhn can have in a city the size of Chicago.
I told you the story, and what did I preface it with this morning?
You said that it's you called it the Z list, which I like. Like, I could go meet some guy who hit 100 in the big leagues in like 10 at bats, career at bats, and I'd be like, oh my God, cool, I remember you.
In fact, I'm sure this has happened. Like, there's got to be a list of people or minor league players that you've come across, and they were very happy that you knew who they were.
Shocked would be more apropos here, but you are the same way with football.
Yes.
College football, NFL, professional football, which, by the way, the Bears, last Friday, we didn't get to this in Tiger Mania, but the Bears signed a kicker out of the AAF. So they've solved.
There you go.
They've solved the Cody Parkey issue, partly. Who'd you meet?
Well, I'm in this kind of grungy bar in Gold Coast, Chicago, which there aren't really a lot of those. But I'm in this bar, and I don't think anything of where I'm at. I don't think that there weren't that many people there. But who I was with combined with this other group of just large dudes. I mean, just huge, huge individuals. And I looked to my friend and I said, hey, I've seen this before. I don't know what level, what team, or anything like that, but I do know that this is a football team. These guys played upper level football at some point in their lives. So my friend asked the question. And this guy looks at me and he says, oh yeah, we played at North Dakota State. So I start asking. I go, oh really? When'd you play there? It's like, oh, I played there 2009 to 2013. So
did you drop any Craig Bowl references?
I did.
Nice.
And this was after I was talking to this guy who went to Notre Dame. I recognized Chris Watt, who it turned out to be as the third round pick of the San Diego Chargers in 2014. But I'm talking to this guy and he goes, yeah, I play there 2019, 2013. My next question is, oh, so did you play with Carson Wentz? And he said, well, my senior year was his freshman year. I'm like, okay, well, I've the only person that has probably ever asked you this question, but that obviously means that you played with Brock Jensen. Now, Brock Jensen was the guy who started it all. He was Easton Stick before Easton Stick at North Dakota State, who's, by the way, their current quarterback.
We've had his dad on the show.
He followed Carson Wentz. Brock Jensen preceded Carson Wentz. And he went something like 48-5, but he was kind of that scrappy guy. He's basically the equivalent of A.J. McCarron at Alabama. You knew they were going to win with him. They weren't going to win because of him. Just people just labeled him as a winner.
Ricky Stanzi type.
Correct. Exactly. So this guy goes, yeah, I played with Brock Jensen. By the way, he's right here standing next to me. Turns out that Brock Jensen was the guy standing next to him observing our conversation. And he goes, hey, Brock, this guy doesn't believe that you're Brock Jensen. I'm like, yeah, the look on this guy's face, the look on Brock Jensen's face when somebody knew who he was, when somebody recognized who this guy was, he's probably 4 or 5 years removed from playing college football. I mean, this guy wanted to be my best friend for
Here's
the rest
the
of the night.
Here's the best part of the story coming here. What did he offer to do?
I mean,
when he found out what you did for a living, what did he offer to do?
So he found out what I did for a living. He may or may not have bought me a couple rounds of drinks. He said, I will come on your show anytime. I go, yeah, well, we had Easton's dad on one time. He's like, Easton.
Invited himself onto the show.
So the offer from him is still out there. Not sure what situation. I'm guessing Iowa isn't going to reschedule North Dakota State anytime soon in football. That's just my assumption.
Probably not.
And it's funny because Brock Jensen was the guy who first made it so that everybody else in college football should have known don't schedule North Dakota State when they went into Manhattan and had an 8-minute drive and beat Kansas State. He was their quarterback, and he was the one who scored the game-winning touchdown. That should have been enough motivation for other teams to say, yeah, we don't want to play that team. But Iowa took a flyer.
Not one of the finer moments in historic Kinnick Stadium's historic ledger.
But at that moment, I'm like, oh my goodness. I am definitely the Todd Brommelkamp of identifying Z-list football celebrities or Z-list football people.
I'm trying to think.
Because I can't use celebrities too loosely.
He won a gold glove and was on the coaching staff in Chicago after his playing career was over. But at my bachelor party in Chicago, the game got rained out. We were supposed to see the Cubs and the Padres on a rooftop. And so we were killing time in a bar before we went to the rooftop because you're guaranteed the 3 hours of food and beverage. And Bobby Dernier was eating dinner and watching the White Sox and the Rays on TV at the time. And I'm the only person there who knew who he was. And I wouldn't say Z-list, but Bobby Dernier at that. Yeah, probably. Won a gold glove in 1984 on the NL East Championship Chicago Cubs team, and was not happy when my friend went up to him and asked for a picture. Not of him, but he wanted me to get it. And I was like, don't bother him while he's eating. Plus, it was ribs, and I didn't want the ribs on my jersey. 319-366-1600. We need to take a quick timeout. When we return, we will, we'll move some things around here because we've run a little long here. I blame Tiger Woods. You blame Tiger for a lot of things, including a spike in the ratings yesterday. Back with more after this.
Sunshine, grass, beer.
Baseball.
You call that a strike? Best seats ever.
Best seats ever.
Home run. High five.
Hot dogs.
Happy family.
Happy, happy family.
Twins tickets.
Twins tickets.
That's hit a long way.
Twins tickets. Get them now. TwinsBaseball.com.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh. For every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com.
It's gonna be the best day ever.
Member FDIC.
Is the car you're driving 2012 or newer? If so, here's something you need to know. Today's newer engines run hotter, making them more vulnerable to carbon buildup, which could affect engine performance. Protect your engine with new Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic, specially formulated to protect cars built 2012 or newer from carbon buildup. Learn more at modernoil.com. Valvoline, since 1866. Visit AutoZone now. Buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic and an oil filter for $33.99. See store for restrictions and details.
Welcome back to Sports View. Next topic. Is it really all about power? Makes me think of Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Gives you the power to find options based on your budget. Let's go to Chuck for an irrelevant analogy.
Man, back in the day, people didn't ask how many oranges are in the crate. They just took the oranges. They didn't say, are there 6, 7, 12, 15, whatever. It was just oranges. You get me?
We get you, Chuck. In a word, oranges.
Give it to us straight with the Progressive Name Your Price tool. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, my name's Ken, and I own Good Start Packaging in Bedford, New Hampshire. With my Spark Cash Card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on all my business purchases. And last year, that added up to $36,000 in cash back. That's right, $36,000. Thanks to that, I was able to offer healthcare to my employees. The Spark Cash Card did a lot for my business. Imagine what it could do for yours. What's in your wallet?
Real Capital One customers paid for real stories. Credit approval required.
Hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes. But today, hiring can be easy and you only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. ZipRecruiter.com/will. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WILL. ZipRecruiter, smartest way to hire.
At Merrick, we know dogs are in charge. So our dog foods start with deboned meat, poultry or fish, and Sorry.
Coming!
Here's your ducky. And because real whole foods are better for your dog, each Merrick recipe is packed with whole fruits and vegetables. Excuse me. You want to go out right now? Okay. Dogs are in charge. Serve them well. Merrick.
Now available at PetSmart!
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops. Your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
Hi, my name's Ken, and I own Good Start Packaging in Bedford, New Hampshire. With my Spark Cash Card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on all my business purchases. And last year, that added up to $36,000 in cash back. That's right, $36,000. Thanks to that, I was able to offer healthcare to my employees. The Spark Cash Card did a lot for my business. Imagine what it could do for yours. What's in your wallet?
Real Capital One customers paid for real stories. Credit approval required.
Ever wanted to play golf at the iconic Pinehurst Resort? Now is your chance.
The Wingo Cup contest brought to you by Dell Small Business. Listen now through April 24th to win. Only with Golic and Wingo. No purchase necessary. Go to ESPNradio.com for official contest rules.
4:55, welcome back in the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented on Mondays by Randy's Flooring. You can check out their showroom in Cedar Rapids or Coralville today, or online, randysflooring.com. We've got a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. Give that away sometime between now and 7 o'clock tonight. Twins baseball on the way, as well as NBA playoff action. If you have listened to the program in the past, you know that I am often critical of colleges especially, and the time-honored tradition that is the Friday news dump. And I don't blame schools for strategically releasing negative information in the hopes that it gets buried in the headlines of the day. And on Friday at 3 o'clock, most people are turning their attention to the weekend and things of that nature. So
it's a good strategy.
3 o'clock, 4 o'clock on a Friday, that's traditionally when transfer news and stuff comes out. Well, and by the way, if I ever had the job that they do at Iowa or Iowa State, I would do exactly the same thing.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's part of the job. But if there were ever a news dump Hall of Fame, I have for you the Ty Cobb, the Babe Ruth, the Ben Hogan, the first ballot news dump Hall of Fame. Please tell me you saw yesterday LSU announcing that Will Wade has been reinstated as head coach of the men's band. Now, it may not last very long, but mind you, not only did you have the biggest story in sports in God knows how long, Tiger Woods winning at Augusta and winning the fifth green jacket and winning his 15th major, they released the news that Will Wade was being reinstated 20 minutes before the debut of the season debut of Game of Thrones on HBO. 20 minutes before everybody went gaga for Game of Thrones 20 minutes before that, when they know nobody's going to be talking about this, boom, Will Wade reinstated.
How do you think that conversation went with the SID in Baton Rouge? It's like, okay, let's put this out next Friday. No, wait a second. I got something even better for you. Let's go after the Masters and right before Game of Thrones. Nobody will notice.
I don't watch the show. I'm not necessarily proud of that. I don't have HBO. But I did. Kyle, please tell me that you are familiar with the phrase that was coined last night after. Nefboo. I got a good kick out of that. And I'm watching. I don't watch the show, but I follow so many people that do. I feel like I watched the show last night. I feel like I know what took place last night. Nefboo.
And
maybe
that.
There was a dragon, but there sure as heck weren't any elephants, and people were mad. People were mad. We had Tiger on Sunday. People were mad about that. And then we didn't have elephants on the fictional TV show, and people were mad about that. If The Walking Dead can give you a tiger, how can they not give you elephants on Game of Thrones? Maybe Kyle will. This could be a thing moving forward. We could have Kyle give a spoiler-free, because I don't know how you do a spoiler-free update.
Sounds pretty impossible, actually.
Exactly. Except for Nefboo. If you watch the show, it's almost enough to get me to watch it. It sounds like something that you would hear on Maury Povich or Jerry Springer. 319-366-1600. Yes, Tiger Woods won another green jacket yesterday. And yes, it's one of the greatest sports stories, not only in our time, but maybe ever. We've got the guy who actually wrote the book on Tiger Woods. This is a big get. Armin Katane joins the program once again when we return. The 5 o'clock hour kicks off next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
Star Zion Williamson has declared for the NBA draft. He is the number one rated prospect on ESPN's rankings. The clock continues to tick toward the self-imposed midnight Eastern deadline by Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson to reach agreement on a contract extension. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, if Wilson and the team do not get a deal done by midnight, he doesn't intend to sign an extension with Seattle this season. NBA playoffs, 76ers not yet sure if they'll have center Joel Embiid for game two tonight versus the Nets because of left knee soreness. Philadelphia should find a way to tie up the series tonight, but Embiid's knee is a concern for the Sixers, according to ESPN's Stephen A. Smith.
Joel Embiid, obviously his health has been a question mark. He's clearly not 100%. He only played 24 minutes. Tobias Harris didn't have a good game. J.J. Redick didn't have a good game. I don't anticipate those two things will continue. I think that they will perform better in game two. I can see the Sixers winning tonight's game.
Stephen A. Smith on Golic and Wingo. NHL Flyers hired Alain Vigneault as their new coach.
Coming up Tuesday, Tiger's run to being back is complete, but yours is just beginning. Come golf with us at the Pinehurst Resort with the Wingo Cup Contest. Plus the latest from the NBA playoffs and
the NFL Draft is coming.
Tuesday on Golic and Wingo, 6 Eastern ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Welcome to...
This SportsCenter update was brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Learn more at ncsei.com.
People think that I'm not a big firm, I'm not a large company. What would anyone want with my data? But you don't know. Client credit cards, employee information, it's all critically important and it needs to stay secure.
Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. If you ever have a question about how secure is your network, give us a call. We can certainly do an audit.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
The year was 1919. Barbasol shaving cream was invented by a dreamer named Frank Shields. The world's first modern shave cream, Barbasol changed the face of shaving forever. A few billion shaves later, Frank's dream lives on. Behind every face is a dream. Barbasol proudly salutes every fearless, self-assured, wide-eyed dreamer all across America. Celebrating 100 years, Barbasol.
Twins and the Blue Jays open up a four-game series Monday night here at Target Field. Hi, this is Corey Provis, Twins and Toronto, on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight starting at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Welcome back in the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, 1600 AM, also heard on FM's 106.3 in Iowa City, 107.5 in Cedar Rapids, the South and North Gyms respectively, and still reveling in what we witnessed yesterday and trying to put it all in perspective. Tiger Woods taking home his 15th major and winning at the Masters. Many people felt that we would never see this again.
I think both of us were included in that.
I said on Twitter yesterday, hey, I was wrong. He won. Not only did he win another major, he won the major in the eyes of many. You may remember, I think it was about a year ago, we had Armin Katane on with us. Armin is now at The Athletic. He wrote the biography, the definitive biography, New York Times bestseller, simply called Tiger Woods. And we've got Armin back with us today. We thought, who better to try to put into perspective what we witnessed yesterday on CBS? Armin, we appreciate you taking the time to join us again. And are we going to have to roll out a second printing of the book here, maybe do an update?
Well, we just had the paperback come out, so I'm going to leave that last chapter, which ends with Tiger winning at the epilogue, winning at East Lake in September, which was sort of the foreshadowing what we saw yesterday. But Todd and Alex, I was in the same camp as you were. I had hopes that, you know, he'd win another tournament, but after East Lake. But I did not believe that it was going to be what we witnessed yesterday, and then the way we witnessed it. I mean, it was one of the I think it was the greatest sporting event I've ever witnessed in my entire life, and on so many different levels. And so I'm going to let the books, the hardcover and the paperback, stand on their own. And hopefully there isn't any more work that I have to do on the book.
There are just so many layers to this story, but I want to start with us. Did we take his greatness for granted? And is that why this resurgence by Tiger Woods has the whole world buzzing?
I don't think it was so much his greatness. I think it was his distance from us, and that he was more machine than man. And we were awed by what we witnessed in his performance. I mean, you can look at the Masters in 97 when he wins by 12, and you can go back and watch what he did at the 2000 U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, where he won by 15. I think it was more, we were in awe of his genius, but he never really let anybody from the outside, meaning those just on the other side of his inner circle, including his fellow pros, really understand him as a person. That just wasn't how he was programmed. He was programmed to win golf tournaments, and he was programmed to become the greatest golfer and arguably the greatest individual athlete in history. What has changed, I think, is after Tiger hit rock bottom, and I think that would be May of 2017 when he was on the side of the road in Florida, thinking he was in California with a rock star cocktail of pain, killing drugs in his system because of his back issues. That was the nadir. And the person, the man that came out of that, it was just 180 degrees different than what than the man that started that evening. And by that I mean he's less entitled, he's more engaged, he's more grateful, he's more appreciative, he's more human than he's ever been. And that's just not me saying that. That's his fellow pros saying it. It's people that he interacts with are saying it. And what we witnessed yesterday was the pinnacle of that. I mean, when he came off the green at 18 and hugged Charlie, I mean, I was, you know, glued to the television set, and I thought, oh my God, that's 1997 all over again. That's Earl saying, I love you, son. Those four words that have resonated in Tiger's mind for his entire life. And that was Tiger being a human being that connects with us in a way that he never connected before. So I think that's at the heart of this. I mean, it's an incredible redemption story. I think it's the greatest redemption story in the history of, certainly in the history of sports, and it may just be in the history of man, in terms of celebrity culture. So there's a powerful magnetic pull here that we never had before, and that's what's drawing the fans and people that are just casual golf fans into this world with Tiger.
So much of your book was about Tiger's lack of people skills and how that came from his early celebrity from age two. Has he been humbled to the point of becoming more human, becoming more of a people person? And is what we are seeing from him smiling more and wearing his hat backwards at the PGA Championship, is this all real?
Oh, I think for sure it's real. I mean, just picture the fall from grace. I mean, you're at the Mount Everest of our sporting world and the most popular athlete on the planet. But you're living a double life, a secret life, and maybe two or three secret lives. You're having multiple affairs with women. You're just not being honest with yourself about your relationships in the public, and that's okay. But when you hit the fire hydrant in November of 2009, that changes the equation. Now your private life suddenly becomes very public, and it's at a time when the tabloid culture and the social media world is exploding. I mean, when you're on the cover of the New York Post for 21 straight days, which was a record, it was more than 9/11. Tiger was on the front page of the New York Post, and everybody in the world was digging into his private life. When you fall that far into that abyss, and that's just a small part of it, and then you have the back problems, and then you get a divorce, and then you can't play the game that you love the way you want to play it. I mean, he's as far down in that hole as you could possibly get. And then when you're down there, most people never make it out. And he makes it out. He makes it into the light, and not just, you know, physically fit and being able to walk for the first time in months and months. He comes back and performs at the highest level of the sport. And, oh, by the way, he wins, as you said, the most prestigious major in the world, arguably. But I believe exactly what you're saying. So, I mean, this just doesn't happen. It does. I mean, it's a fairy tale. It's like a Hollywood ending. And I think because he had fallen so far, the rise and the redemption is just all the more powerful. And you start to root for him, which a lot of people, you know, were just like, you know, Jeff and I in the middle of the book when we're writing it, we're like, God, this guy's really, really hard to like. I mean, there's just nothing redemptive here at all. But now, given his journey and given where he is and where he stands today, you can't do anything but cheer for him.
Armin Kattane joining us from The Athletic, the paperback version of Tiger Woods out now. Get it at your local bookstore. You mentioned social media and that aspect of things. He had not won a major since the U.S. Open in 2008. That's really sort of just as Twitter and everything was taking off.
Yeah.
How much did that add to yesterday? I felt like the whole world was not only watching this take place, but we were all interacting about it at the same time.
I think that's a really important point. I mean, that we're connected for good or bad in ways we've never been connected before. And it can be very welcoming and comforting, and it can be incredibly divisive. I don't remember reading or watching one negative thing being said on Twitter. And when is the last time that happened to any individual? So I think that was a unifying factor. And let's not forget, we're not in the most welcoming of times here. I mean, I think our country is divided. There's partisan divide. It's an incredibly stressful, chaotic time in Washington. And then lo and behold, here comes this guy on a Sunday morning in Augusta, and the world is watching. And, oh, he gives us something that we haven't seen in a long time. He gives us hope. He gives us an emotional connection that we haven't had. And I think social media, and I think the country's own personal trials and tribulations right now played into that as well. He was an elixir in a lot of ways for what we've been ailing in this world.
That fierce, intimidating stare, the way that Francesco Molinari kind of fell apart after breaking that 50-hole bogey streak, how familiar did that look to you?
Oh, it looked very familiar. And it was, you know, he hit the shot that he wanted to hit, right where he wanted to hit it. And then he's out there looking at both Molinari and Finau, who had dumped their balls into Rays Creek, and he's just giving them the death stare, like, hey, I'm up here on the green, you're down there throwing the tournament away. And you got to give, I mean, both men, I mean, that is a, I can't even imagine what kind of cauldron that is to be in with him. And Molinari played so well and so consistently. But, you know, you get to 12 and you're up, you know, and you're looking at a green jacket, and all of a sudden, you know, that shot and the experience that Tiger had to play it between those two bunkers in the back and not go for that sucker pin on the right, it changed everything. You know, look at a guy like Patrick Cantlay. He had a taste of the lead for about as long as it takes to eat a cookie. And, you know, he eagles 15 and then takes the lead at minus 12 and he goes bogey, bogey, and just drops off the, you know, off the map there. And, you know, Ian Poulter and Kepka, you know, they both double 12. So they had their shot and fell away. I mean, it was vintage Tiger Woods yesterday. He waited. He was patient. He saw an opening. And then he stuck that shot at 16, and I thought, oh, my God, this is, you know, I thought it was going to be what we saw in 05 when he made that incredible shot out of the rough, long left of the green and the famous Vern Lindquist call. So, man, it was just, I just can't, it's hard to believe what we watched. I mean, we just don't see sport like that anymore. You know, I can't be happier for him because he's lived, he's 43 years old, and sometimes having been involved in his life for the better part of 3 years, I feel like he's lived two or three lives, and now he gets to live the life that he really wants to live as a great father for his kids and enjoy. And if we never see another major or never see another win, I, you know, what we watched yesterday will live in my mind forever.
Now, in your book, you outline the fact that his mom was the one who instilled that killer instinct in him. Was I the only one that noticed that Coltita had the exact same stare on her face when the CBS broadcast showed her?
That is very perceptive. That woman was, you take their heart, you step on their neck. You know, Earl was the softy. He was the one that taught Tiger how to play the game and fell in love with the game. Tita was the one, and she came from a tough upbringing. I think that's one of the real revealing parts of our book is that, you know, she spent time in foster care. She did not have a great relationship with her parents, and she came up hard. And she taught Tiger that this is a competition, and you pay respect to your competitors, but you don't give them an inch. And when you have a chance to put them away, that's what you do. And you do it in a way that they never forget it. And I think we saw all of that and a little more. And then I was surprised to see Tita, honestly. You know, I didn't, you know, she lives near Tiger down in Florida, but she's been pretty quiet and off the radar for the last couple of years. And it was nice to see her there. And it certainly was nice, you know, to see that hug between the father and the son and his daughter.
Yeah, the first thing that came to mind, and you already mentioned it, was 97 and Earl and Tiger, and you see sort of everything is coming full circle. But as he's going in, finishing his round, and he's going in, he's hugging and interacting with the other players on tour, Cedar Rapids native Zach Johnson, those guys. And you could tell how genuinely happy those guys were for him. How much do you think that moment meant to Tiger?
I think it meant a tremendous amount. I mean, when's the last time you saw somebody win a title, let's just say a championship, like the Masters or the NBA, and the people he played against are hugging him and thanking him, and they're so excited for him. I mean, that just doesn't happen. And to see Ricky there and Brooks there and Bernhard Langer, who was really sort of the ringleader of getting the guys out of the clubhouse and into their jackets to come out and welcome Tiger in, I mean, that was amazing. And it speaks to how they feel about him now. They never would have done that in 2000 or 2005 or any of the times during his great run because they had no connection to him. He was almost like a mythical figure when he would walk into the clubhouse. He wouldn't interact with anybody. He would practice, I know, at Torrey Pines prior to the Farmers Insurance. Everybody would be practicing at the south end of the course. Tiger would be practicing at the north end of the course, the driving range, and hitting balls you know, back in the direction of where everyone else was hitting. That was purposeful. He didn't want to interact. He didn't want to make friends. He wanted to beat them all. And then to see that yesterday was just, I mean, it just added an incredible amount of icing on a on an absolutely gorgeous cake at that point in time.
We always talked about how when he was in his prime, there was nobody on tour that physically looked like him. Now that pretty much everybody on tour does, and all of these golfers so clearly modeled their game after him, how lucky are we to see him go toe-to-toe with those guys?
I think we're incredibly lucky. I mean, I remember, I think it might have been John Rahm, somebody of that ilk, and one of the young guns, saying, you know, I can't wait to get into a major on Sunday and go head-to-head with Tiger. And David Duval, who had done that more than once and had felt the absolutely suffocating experience of everybody kind of rooting for Tiger and you're out there by yourself, saying in essence, the heck you do. You have no idea what you're walking into. And now with these great young players, I mean, to me, golf, this is the halcyon days of golf right now. There's so many good players, and they have been inspired by Tiger, and to see them have the great respect, but still want to compete against them and have the skills to compete against them, to me, just adds a layer and a level of excitement that wasn't there when Tiger was dominating. I mean, yes, it was Vijay for a while, and it was Duval for a while, and it was Phil for a while, and it was Ernie for a while. But there was never anybody that could withstand, you know, that pressure continuously. Sergio had a half a drink up there with Tiger for a while, but it just wasn't the level of competition. And you're right, when you see people like Brooks Koepka or DJ, who just, you know, they're in the mold of a Tiger Woods, power against power, in the mind games that go on the course. I mean, Brooks to me was like, if I had to pick somebody, I thought the fact that he missed that last putt, I was really surprised. But again, that's the pressure, you know, at Augusta. And Tiger, he just never succumbed to it, which was, you know, was just so classic and vintage Tiger Woods.
Yeah, there was that moment with Koepka where he was on the tee box and he was just getting ready to tee off, and Tiger dropped that putt and that roar went up. And I think that was the moment that I think he and the rest of the field sort of knew what was going to happen. Armin, outside of Tiger himself, I can't think of anybody I'd rather have on the program today to contextualize what happened with us yesterday. We really appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for asking.
Armin Katane of The Athletic, and as he mentioned, the paperback version of his best-selling book, Tiger Woods, now available at your local bookstore or online.
I've alluded to it many times, but that was the book that gave me a greater appreciation of the entire story that is Tiger Woods, from one that's been going on for, what, now 41 years since he first appeared on cable television as a two-year-old. Just a remarkable story.
It, again, and I think it goes back to what I mentioned with Armin, is the fact that this is the first time, truly, where we lived with Tiger winning a major in the Twitter era. Okay, I understand he won the U.S. Open in 2008 and Twitter was around. But this is that moment where you're sitting on your couch in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and you got millions of people who are interacting and sharing their thoughts in real time. And it did feel like everybody was united at that point in time. Now, we know that there are, not everybody was on board with Tiger winning yesterday. And even after the fact, you still have some people who want to try to downplay. Listen to Armin's words. I mean, the greatest redemption story in sports, the greatest comebacks.
Just the greatest sports story
in general. The greatest sports story. I don't know if you want to go that far. But
I do.
That you either understood what we witnessed yesterday or you didn't. Now, if you recall on Friday's program, we were talking about what the ratings were going to look like. And the Saturday ratings were fantastic. They were at I believe, the highest Saturday ratings in 5 years. Now, there was a little bit of a problem yesterday because they had to move up the start time. So the Masters was played in the final round was played in the morning as opposed to the traditional afternoon time. So they were down about a million viewers. Now, his overnight rating of 7.7, which is down from an 8.7, but up from the Masters final round 2 years ago. That being said, because CBS had that massive window where they were planning on airing the tournament live in the afternoon, as tradition dictates, they replayed the morning telecast. The morning telecast replayed drew a 3.4 rating, which would be the highest rated round of golf in 2019 that was not a Masters broadcast.
I know what the numbers say, but that yesterday on Twitter, on social media, I cannot remember another sporting that rivals the Super Bowl. We always talk about how the NFL is king. I can't remember a Super Bowl or a national championship game that sort of rivaled the fanfare that yesterday morning and early afternoon brought in.
According to Sports Illustrated, the third round, the Saturday round, was the highest rated golf telecast of any network in the last 4 years. Any event, any final round, the last 4 years, Saturday, where people were tuning in to see, okay, is this real? Is this going to happen? Is he going to stay in the hunt? Not only did he stay in the hunt, he made it pretty clear he was going to be playing in that final grouping. Look, I may be just a fly-by-night golf fan, but I know what we witnessed yesterday. And I said this on Friday, I've never been a Tiger Woods guy, but I became one over the weekend because sometimes it's more about the story than the person. And that moment, again, at his age, overcoming everything, the physical, the mental, the issues with his wife and the infidelities and the sex addiction and the addiction. The guy was on the cover of the New York Post more than 9/11. I mean, people eat, breathe, and sleep celebrity in this country. Look at the Kardashians. And in the sports realm, is there a more Kardashian-esque person than Tiger Woods? And we watched him at the end, a moment when he's coming off 18, and he hugs his son. And I'm sitting there on the couch, and I've got my son next to me, and he's watching Daniel Tiger on his little on the little tablet because he was not interested in what was going on other than occasionally watching the guys hit the ball into the water, which I'm a little concerned that he now thinks that that's part of the game.
Like that's a good thing?
Yeah.
Splash. Ooh, water.
He hit the water. Yeah, you're not supposed to do that. Ray's Creek claiming more victory. And that really was the moment, was it not, where you knew Tiger's watching these other guys self-destruct. And he goes, I got this. And that's where it just sort of clicked. And yeah, 16 was great, but it wasn't quite the best he's ever played that hole. Almost a replay of the past. 319-366-1600, the Hertzien and Stocker Jewelers text line. Available for you on a Monday edition of the program. Once again, being brought to you by Randy's Flooring, Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years. Keep them in mind the next time you have a home improvement project. Hardwood floors, carpeting, laminate flooring, they've got it all, and they can help you. Check out their locations in Cedar Rapids and Coralville. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll be back with more of the program on 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM after this.
100 years of hard work can take you far, and no one knows that better than Goodyear. In 1918, we started the Akron Wingfoots basketball team, laced up, and took to the court. And we've been outperforming the rest ever since. Goodyear proudly celebrates our 100th anniversary in basketball and our relentless dedication to being unstoppable. Goodyear, more driven.
Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative is committed to providing electricity that's reliable, cost-effective, and sustainable. Did you know nearly 60% of their electricity comes from emission and carbon-free resources? That minimizes the impact on our natural environment, which is good for everybody.
How does Linn County REC do this?
With their generation mix. It's a diverse fuel mix of coal, nuclear, hydro, landfill gas generation, wind, solar, natural gas, and oil energy resources. When Linn County REC members switch on a light or the computer, they know they're using more sustainable and environmentally friendly power. And with such a variety of energy sources in the mix, it also means increased reliability across a broad spectrum of conditions, including severe weather here in Iowa. The generation mix is good stuff, and just another one of the benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
At Menards, nobody beats our prices, so you can save big money on everything you need to update your bathroom. The Orchestra Freestanding Bathtub by Max offers a sleek and minimalist design, just $719.99. Or choose a U-Tile Cocoon Tub Shower Wall Kit. It has the look and feel of real tile. Available in five designs, it's $1,188.99. Plus, a Menards gift card is perfect for Mother's Day. Stop in and save big money through April 21st during Menards' Easter sale.
Save big money at Menards.
Rolling Stone calls it rule-breaking country music. Cody Jenks in concert. Saturday, June 1st at McGrath Amphitheater with special guests Ward Davis and Alex Williams. Tickets are on sale now and expected to sell out. Get your ticket at CodyJenks.com. Don't miss Cody Jenks. Saturday, June 1st at McGrath Amphitheater. Produced by True Grit Presents.
TCB Pool Hall isn't one of those joints with a table stuck in the back for atmosphere. Nah, TCB Pool Hall is legit. Straight up pool with 10 regulation full-size tables. You rent by the hour. They've got a darn respectable beer selection too, with 26 rotating taps and another 30-plus brews and bottles and cans. TCB isn't the place the kiddies play. You gotta be 21 to get in here. So skip the nonsense. Hang out, play pool, and drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the Pet Bowl, downtown Iowa City.
Spring is a time for new beginnings and new ways to get smart rock and roll. Smart FM's got you covered with your favorite tunes spanning decades. Lacing up your running shoes? Tune to Smart FM. Getting ready to grill on the deck? Season your steak with Smart FM. Shining up those golf clubs in the garage? Keep your radio locked on Smart FM. Eastern Iowa's home for smart rock. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Twins and the Blue Jays open up a four-game series Monday night here at Target Field. Hi, this is Corey Provis, Twins and Toronto, on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Come check out the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring products in Eastern Iowa and save big during the Randy's Flooring Love Your Pet Sale. Now through May 4th, take up to 20% off pet-friendly flooring products from some of the best manufacturers in the industry. Carpet, tile, luxury vinyl, and much more. If it's a pet-friendly flooring product, it's on sale. The Randy's Flooring Love Your Pet Sale. Visit randysflooring.com to learn more and save big on your next flooring purchase. Now through May 4th.
5:30, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Coming your way on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, heard all across eastern Iowa. You can also catch us on the FM dial, 106.3 in Iowa City, the South Gym, and 107.5 in Cedar Rapids, the North Gym. Great program still to come tonight. Scott Merkin of MLB.com covers the Chicago White Sox. We'll chat a little baseball with him and more reflection on Tiger Woods winning a fifth green jacket and a 15th major yesterday in Augusta, Georgia. That to come. But right now, time for a Big Board update. Big Board updates brought to you by Alexander Lumber. Make sure you look for Alexander Lumber before your next home improvement project. You can find them at their temporary location in Iowa City. Here's Kyle.
The Iowa baseball team went on the road and took 2 of 3 from Purdue over the weekend to win its third straight Big Ten series. Cole McDonald allowed just one run in 6 innings while the offense scored early and often in the Game 1 victory on Friday. And then the Hawkeyes used 4 runs in the 8th inning to take Game 2 of a doubleheader on Saturday to win the series. Iowa next hosts Northern Illinois tomorrow afternoon. Iowa State football got a commitment over the weekend from 3-star offensive lineman Hayden Pauls of Emporia, Kansas. The junior 6'4" and upwards of 260 pounds, he chose the Cyclones over offers from Iowa, Nebraska, and Oklahoma State, among others. Tiger Woods, of course, is your 2019 Masters champion, but Cedar Rapids native Zach Johnson finished 5 over and collected a cool $26,000. The Colonels beat Burlington 8-3 on Friday and 2-1 on Saturday, but fell short of the sweep with a 6-2 loss yesterday. Interestingly enough, at 4-7, each of the Colonels' last three losses have come in games in which they've out-hit their opponent. This homestand continues this evening, starting a three-game series with Quad Cities, who is actually acting as the home team because of flooding. That game's set to start at 6:35. The Rough Riders are beginning postseason play tonight, hosting Team USA. Puck drop for that game set for 7:05. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the Twins and Blue Jays on the North Gym. We'll join them very early in that game, and then at 9 o'clock on the South and Main Gyms will be game two between the Clippers and Warriors in the Western Conference playoffs.
It's fascinating stuff. They could play at Modern Woodman Park in Davenport right now, except for the fact that if you've ever been there, you know there is a set of train tracks that runs past the ballpark. And even though the floodwaters are up right now, the ballpark is dry. The trains can still go through the floodwaters. So the trains, I believe it's a Union Pacific line, the trains are still running. And in the past, they had been able to put a temporary walkway across the train tracks so that people could get into the ballpark. But they can't do that because, unlike previous floods where the trains were not running, they can't put the walkway over the railroad tracks because trains are still coming through. So Quad City is essentially playing almost the entire month of April on the road away from home. Should be fascinating. And again, tickets to the game tonight as well as tomorrow and Wednesday, just $5 general admission if you're looking for a bargain entertainment. What is it, about probably 50-some degrees outside right now?
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
I mean, it looks beautiful
out there.
I saw
snow in Chicago yesterday, so.
I was going to ask you about that. Obviously yesterday's series finale with the Angels got delayed due to the weather. They're going to play that game, I believe I saw June 3rd is the makeup date, and there's already people who are upset about that because it now forces them to play something like 34 games in 35 days, where both teams had an off day in August where there were more off days around it. Let's not do this again.
Those people that are upset, do they sit in the bleachers by chance?
Yeah, just don't wear a Stephen Piscotty jersey. And you do that. You wear a Cardinals jersey to a non-Cubs Cardinals game and you sit in the bleachers, you're trolling. You're asking. But you also don't want to be the person that throws peanut shells or quote-unquote accident.
That's kind of where I came
down. I want
to
meet the guy who's got enough money to accidentally spill a beer on somebody at Wrigley Field, because that beer is expensive. I go to Wrigley Field, I ain't spilling my beer on purpose.
No.
I'll tell you that much.
It's precious.
And if you missed hour number one of the program, Alex then goes to a sketchy local establishment in Chicago on Saturday and runs into half of the North Dakota State football team from like six seasons ago.
Yes, the one that beat Kansas State.
And he knew every single player on the team, and at least one of those players was impressed with his knowledge, and Alex now has a new best friend. Where's the guy living now? What's he doing?
Somewhere in Wisconsin.
Is he playing football?
No, I think he might be a gym teacher.
River Kings need a quarterback?
No, he was in the CFL. I think he's going into teaching.
I saw the River Kings lost to a team in San Diego yesterday, and I was looking up information about the arena. They play indoor lacrosse at this arena in San Diego, where the Indoor Football League franchise plays. Speaking of football, we did not get a chance to get to some of these clips of Chris Doyle from Friday, Iowa's outstanding strength and conditioning coach. And as this is a program dominated in large part by Hawkeye football discussion in the fall and in the spring, well, I thought we would be doing you a disservice if we did not bring you some of the highlights of Chris Doyle's news conference. So here are about five really interesting clips, and you'll hear the reporters' question setting these clips up, and then Alex and I will come back in a couple minutes and discuss what we heard. Chris Doyle on Friday in Iowa City.
Can you quantify how much it helps a young guy to see Marshall Yanda in the flesh, see him going through his routine and setting an example?
Absolutely, because Marshall's like really counterintuitive. Like Marshall does things, he's an old school guy. You know, I tell the story, you know, Marshall wears the same. He got a pair of shoes, his first Pro Bowl. So you can look that up, whenever that was. All right. So that was, I don't know, he's in year 13. So that goes back, I don't know, 7, 8, or 9 years. I don't know. He got a pair of shoes as a gift package from the first Pro Bowl. And they're a pair of Nikes. Nike Freeze, they're red and gray. and he leaves them here in his locker. He has a locker in our building. And when he comes back, he puts those shoes on, and he still trains in the same pair of shoes. And I said, Marshall, and he, you know, he can afford whatever shoes he wants. And I said, why? And he said, because it's a reminder of that first pro, what it took. It's a reminder. It keeps me grounded, no pun intended, but it keeps me grounded. And it reminds me of, you know, what I did to achieve that level of success and what I need to continue to do on a daily basis, you know, to play at the highest level. And those shoes, they sit in our building year round. They never leave the building, and he wears them every day when he trains. So when our kids see someone with that kind of humility, that kind of work ethic, he's here. I mean, when I say he trains here year round, he's here. Like, he's in the building, he's going, and he trains with our current team. He doesn't have a special group where, you know, he does exactly what our players do. In the groups, alongside our groups, with our own players. And I think that, he doesn't look back or look down on that stuff and say, I don't need to do that anymore. He says, I absolutely have to do exactly what they're doing because they're growing and I need to keep growing.
The Wirfs 450 day.
Yeah.
Talk about that day, what it's like building up to that and seeing the guys rally around him like that after he accomplishes that.
Yeah, they say, you know, the lead dog sets a pace for the pack, you know, so when you see that going on in the weight room, as much as anything, I'm a believer that it elevates everybody's performance, and great leaders elevate the performance of the people around them. So when someone looks over and they see Tristan Wirfs and he hand cleans 450 for a set of four and the relevance of that, and how that's a really huge lift, and people don't recognize, maybe on the people on that don't have the experience with college football or with strength training don't realize that's borders on, you know, that's ridiculous. I mean, that's a really impressive movement and lift. But then everybody in the room looks over and says, if he can do that, well, maybe I can hang clean 300 for four for the first time. Maybe I can do something I've never done before. So that's really important. When you see the unselfish investment of everybody in the round. There wasn't, you know, everybody there wants to see him excel. And he's kind of showing his teammates, you know, is he gifted? Absolutely. Now he's a guy that came in the door, you know, very, very gifted. I mean, he walked in the door, gifted kid. But also he's applied a lot of hard work and intensity to what he's doing as well. And that's what can happen when you combine someone that's really gifted genetically with great work ethic and a great atmosphere and a great culture. Great things can happen, and I think Tristan's trying to prove that. When you're in that environment, it's electric. And I remember standing there, and I stepped away after lifting. I couldn't hear myself think. I mean, it was that loud. It was in that 20-yard box. It would have been like standing in Kinnick on third and, you know, on third down. I mean, that's how loud it was in the weight room at that moment, because everybody was excited to see someone do something special, you know, and they got a chance to see that.
You have an individual body assessment for every player who walks in the door, and more of them are like Cole Cross and then say like Alaric Jackson or Tristan Wirfs.
Sure.
What do you, when you see players like that or Carl Davis even before him who are of man size, but you've got, What do you look at them and how do you reshape them to maybe, whereas the other guys, you're talking about consistent weight and growth.
Okay. Sure. Every single athlete is handled as an individual. We look at a number of different markers to identify what their optimal body weight will be. All right. So, you know, that starts, you know, Scott, without getting into too deep into it, with a functional movement screen, you know, so we're putting their athletes through a battery of 10 tests to identify how their body moves. We're looking at their body from front to back, right to left, asymmetries, dysfunctions, and compensations. For example, if you have a pickup truck with a flat tire, you can't put a load of bricks in that pickup truck and drive it down the street. It's only gonna get worse. So we have to fix the tire before we start adding weight. All right. So we need to make sure that these athletes are moving moving clean. You know, they have good functional mobility and stability, and they can handle their body weight before we start talking about adding any weight to their frame. So there's a functional movement screen. Along with that, we're doing some the measurements with lean fat lean body mass to fat weight, fat free mass. So we're doing body composition testing. We're using a force plate technology to test their body's ability to apply force against the ground and what their reactive strength index is, to just to identify will it benefit more from explosive training and more resistive training. We're looking at their performance indicators, ability to run straight ahead, change direction, as well as jump. And those numbers have to continually improve. We're not going to add weight to an athlete that's not improving in those areas. So there's a lot of measurables that go into the individual athletic profile. And then from there, we'll put together a plan as to how we're going to progress the athlete. We'll consult with the athlete individually so they know clearly what our goals are and what our progression will be. We'll do dietary analysis and consultation. So when we'll start, you know, and this is a methodical process. This is a 5-year process, and it's as much education as anything, just educating the athletes as to what it takes within their lifestyle to, in a healthy way, add functional lean body mass to their frame. And it goes way beyond lifting weights. You know, it goes into the nutrition part of it, goes into the sleep part of it. It goes into, you know, technology, you know, screen time, and you know, how you manage your lifestyle, you know, so you can put on good lean body mass. And it's a whole holistic approach to changing your body and changing your future.
Is that kind of the big mystery box when a kid comes in, is how his nutrition and how he's made his body to this point? Because it could be all big max.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What, you know, what are the current habits that this athlete, how does he live? And everybody grows up in a different home, right? So we all grew up in different homes. If you walked into my house in 1978, you'd be able to tell what day it was based on what was on the table. If there was spaghetti on the table, it was Wednesday. If there was fish on the table, it was Friday. If it was hot dogs and beans, it was Saturday night. I knew it. Oh, you could tell by what was on the table. All right, so we all grow up with different, you know, different families and come from different backgrounds, right? So, and these kids come from from individual backgrounds as well. So you sit down and you identify, all right, let's look at your dietary analysis over 3 days. Let's identify where you can make some improvements. And then we go from there. We don't try to change guys whole, we don't try to make wholesale changes on guys. We make progressive slow changes and try to get them to make some good choices and some better choices and eat some more fruits and vegetables, eat a breakfast, you know, the basics, what our moms told us, you got to eat breakfast, right? You know, you got to get enough fruits and vegetables. I remember sitting at the table and I had to finish my green vegetables before I could go out and play. So, you know, we all had moms and dads that you know, put it on us and held us accountable, and we're trying to get those kids to do the basics and build on the basics to make their bodies better.
You talked about Marshall. You get a lot of former players that are currently playing in the NFL, and they come here in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, big is that? They could train anywhere in the country,
right?
And they decide to come back here.
Yeah. I've used this example with somebody else. So Tim Casey comes over here, and he's a coach from City High, and he comes over here and watches our workouts all the time, and I have a lot of respect for Tim, and he's a high school math teacher and really loves math, and he loves coaching. And Tim kind of has been over here, and we've talked about this, and imagine if the best math students in his entire career would come back and they would do math, you know, they would work on math problems in a classroom. You know, how rewarding that would that be for Tim? Well, our best students are some of our best guys that have ever come through and worn a Tiger Hawk and have ever been in this building. They come back often and train here. So it tells you a few things. It tells you that, you know, they obviously, you know, they had a good experience here. They wouldn't return. They have a sense of family. They know the people in the building because of the stability that Iowa football presents. And then the third thing, they believe that the training that we're doing will help them retain their jobs. So those are three things. We have a very healthy healthy traffic. Like, we had a ton of guys this past offseason, as many as 15 NFL rostered guys plus our seniors that are trying to go on and play at the next level. And it's great to have them back, you know, especially, you know, young guys. You look like a year ago, you know, you had Daniels and Jackson who left school really, like, with eligibility remaining. It's really hard to develop in an NFL setting. Okay, the NFL has an offseason that's a third the length of our own. They're not even back yet. So next week, the NFL will start back April 15th, and they'll have three phases, two weeks of strength conditioning. And then they'll have a phase of 3 weeks where they'll do some skills and drills and strength conditioning. And then they'll have some, you know, 2 to 3 weeks of what they call their OTAs and mandatory mini camp. So the entire NFL offseason, 8 to 10 weeks, dependent upon whether you have a new head coach or not. Really, really difficult for a 20-year-old offensive lineman to develop the way he could here at Iowa football. So you have Josh Jackson come back, who's a young guy. You have James Daniels come back, and bang, they're here the beginning of February. Like, hey, when do we get going? George Kittle's in today. I could go down the list. Neiman and Butker. You know, we've had James Ferentz and Tobin's trained forever here, and Desmond King was back this year. We have a pretty healthy, steady diet of NFL guys, and it's absolutely awesome to have those guys come back, be around our current players, and to have an opportunity to work with some of the best guys that have ever played here. So I think that's one of the special things about Iowa football is the stability of it, the family of it, and that those guys feel really good about coming back here. And we cater to them. We have an NFL locker room. I don't know of another facility in the country, college football facility that has an NFL locker room that's been built specifically to house our current NFL guys. So
the guys that do come back, I mean, do they just do their own thing, or do you sometimes help them say, well, just try these exercises for this amount of time, or how would you say that all works?
We program 100% of their training. Yeah, every single thing they do is under our direction. They come here because they want that and they know that. So we treat them just like they're on the team. And they come in and they go through the paces, and we have clocks on them, and they treat them just like they're on the team. And again, they come here because they're looking for that. They want that. Well, they wouldn't come back. You know, if they wanted to train differently, they would go someplace different.
So that was Iowa strength and conditioning coach Chris Doyle, some of the highlights of his news conference on Friday, and I take two things away from that. One, he is absolutely right. If you want to go to the next level and get there, and you do it at Iowa, how cool is it that you can come back to the facility and you have your separate locker room? It's sort of like a club within a club, right? And the second thing is, now I want to go home tonight and eat beans and hot dogs for dinner, like it's Saturday night at the Doyle House.
But it's Monday.
Which was
spaghetti
night?
On Wednesday and beans and hot dogs
and
on
fish
Saturday.
Fish on Friday. Beans and hot dogs, underrated all-time bachelor meal.
Certainly.
Or blue-collar family. How many of us grew up on hot dogs and beans and had various names for it? 319-366-1600. LeVar Woods also met with the media on Friday. We'll have some of the highlights of what he had to say coming up later on in the program today. Scott Merkin of MLB.com also set to be with us. And yes, more discussion of LT Gray, Tiger Woods, winning at the Masters in Augusta for the fifth time and perhaps the most emotional of his five victories there. Back with more after this.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh. For every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Always gonna be the best day alive. Member FDIC.
If your vehicle isn't stopping like it used to or makes squealing noises when you brake, shop the Spring Brake Deal Savings Event at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, buy a set of Brake Best Select pads and a pair of rotors and get a $20 O'Reilly gift card by mail. Don't miss the Spring Brake Deals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
Christian Yelich, he won the MVP last year, and I found myself this morning asking this question. Is the Christian Yelich trade, does that have a chance to go down in history alongside Frank Robinson and Lou Brock trades as one of the most one-sided deals in history? What do you think?
Well, a little early for that, but it's ridiculous
how good he has been.
Baseball Tonight. Subscribe now on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-375-7751. That's 1-800-375-7751.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that brake job done. At AutoZone, we have everything you need to do it right. Replacing your brake pads? It might be time to replace your rotors, too. Our Duralast brake bundle has the proven tough Duralast pads and rotors you need to do the complete job, starting at only $99.99 and sold only at AutoZone. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Adam Schefter Podcast.
Huge cost to absorb to get rid of a great player like Antonio Brown in a franchise that once was set up with the Killer Bees is down to one Killer Bee. And he's going to need the support of James Conner and Juju Smith-Schuster now to keep the Steelers afloat in the AFC North, where I actually think the Cleveland Browns might be the favorite to win that division.
The Adam Schefter Podcast. Listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that brake job done. At AutoZone, we have everything you need to do it right. Replacing your brake pads? It might be time to replace your rotors, too. Our Duralast brake bundle has the proven tough Duralast pads and rotors you need to do the complete job, starting at only $99.99 and sold only at AutoZone. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
How would you like to win $30, which you could use for the next KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com at Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road? Well, if you would like to win that $30 gift card, you're in luck right now. If you're caller number 6 to 319-366-1600, you're going to take home $30. You can use it any way you want at Mulligan's. Happy hour is from 3 until 6 daily if you want to try to stretch the $30. I highly recommend you join us Thursday nights, every other Thursday night, the KGYM Road Trip, Half Price Wings. From 6 until close, they've got live music occasionally at Mulligan's. Check out their Facebook page for information about that. We will be back there next Thursday for the KGYM Road Trip. Again, a big thank you to our friends at Mulligan's for hooking us up with that $30 gift card. Lots more ground to cover on the program tonight. Scott Merkin of MLB.com, who covers the Chicago White Sox, will be with us. We'll find out what he thought of Eloy Jimenez's breakout performance over the weekend and get his thoughts on what appears to be a wide-open AL Central. The Indians are succumbing to a lot of injuries. You've got some young up-and-coming teams, the Minnesota Twins, being one of them, responding fairly well to Rocco Baldelli right out of the gate. That is to come, as well as more discussion about Tiger Woods winning at the Masters yesterday. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Any final thoughts on what we heard from Chris Doyle there? I know we were tight on time. We had to take a break. We didn't really get to expound on things beyond beans and wieners, but
that it's amazing when a program has something set up for players once they're gone from their program. That's not everywhere.
Their own private locker room.
That is definitely not
everywhere. You can keep whatever you want in there. I love the story about, look, most people are familiar with Marshall Yanda's story. If you are not, he was one of the last members of Iowa's recruiting class. His mom basically had a come to Jesus meeting with him about, are you, you know, if you're serious about playing football, you need to study, you need to put the schoolwork in, because if you don't come here to play school, to quote Cardale Jones, you're going to wind up, I think the example was she used with him was he was going to wind up spending the rest of his life working at the Tyson's in Anamosa. Fine store, and certainly nothing wrong with working there. But the point she was trying to drive home to him is you're not going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer and make life-changing money working at a store like that. And he's got his first set of cleats that he got from the Pro Bowl as a reminder of how hard he had to bust his rear end to get to that first Pro Bowl. Now, he's been to many since, and most likely a first ballot Hall of Famer. And he comes back. He could train anywhere in the country he wanted to, including staying in Baltimore and probably training at an elite with an elite personal trainer. He comes back to Iowa City and trains with Chris Doyle.
Oh, I mean, guys go around the country to Fort Lauderdale, to Nashville, to Chicago, Los Angeles, and train with their own guy, to train with these different fitness gurus. And Iowa City has one of those employed by their school. Like I said, very few. Maybe you can count on one hand the number of FBS programs that have something like that. It is a tremendous advantage for any player that goes to Iowa and wants to go to the NFL. It's huge.
Anytime assistant coach salaries get brought up in the national media, Chris Doyle's name gets trotted out there. He is worth every penny that Iowa pays him.
I heard someone say, if somebody's getting paid that much to be a strength coach, they better be revolutionary. And I think he is. Or else he would not be making the type of money that he does. It's a lot of money. But for someone as good as at his job as he is, he's the backbone of that program.
We've got more audio from Friday's media availability. LeVar Woods also spoke to the media, some special teams information there. If you missed anything from last week's shows, podcasts are still available at kgymradio.com. Plus, you can vote in our poll question brought to you by Emol's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Will Tiger Woods' Masters win renew your interest in playing or following golf? That is, of course, assuming that you played or followed golf in the first place. Yes or no? Emol's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. What was it about Tiger Woods' victory at the Masters yesterday that has resonated with us so well? 319-366-1600. We'll discuss when we return next on 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City. Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Breaking news, Duke All-World freshman Zion Williamson has declared for the NBA draft. He is the number one rated prospect on ESPN rankings. Two game twos tonight in the NBA playoffs. 76ers big man Joel Embiid, game time decision versus the Nets because of left knee soreness. Warriors welcome the Clippers, 10 Eastern, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. The NHL suspended Maple Leafs center Nazem Kadri for the remainder of the first round series against the Bruins because of a high hit in Saturday night's loss. NFL, it is deadline day for Russell Wilson. 5 hours to go before the self-imposed midnight Eastern deadline set by the Seahawks quarterback to reach agreement on an extension with the team. Talks do continue, though ESPN's Adam Schefter reports it will be a challenge to get a deal done in time. If there's no agreement by midnight, Wilson does not intend to sign an extension with Seattle this season. Wilson could be one of the most underappreciated players in the NFL, believes ESPN's Dan Orlovsky.
He has more completions in his career to undrafted guys than drafted guys. He's done more with less than any player in the NFL. Outside of maybe Tom Brady, he's done more with less. So the value is he is a franchise-changing player, and he needs to be paid that way because he's done what no one else in Seattle could do.
Our Dan Orlovsky. Baseball, Angels outfielder Mike Trout returns from a strained groin tonight against the Rangers. He's missed the last three games with that injury. Dodgers ace Clayton Kershaw, back from left shoulder inflammation, will make his season debut tonight versus the Reds.
The NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio. Game 2 of the Clippers and Warriors. Coverage begins today at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Presented by Indeed. Welcome to Spain and Fitz.
The great thing about facts, they're proven.
like the fact that crude oil contains impurities, or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities, and the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE5W30. Find it at Firestone Complete Auto Care.
Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
Christian Yelich, he won the MVP last year, and I found myself this morning asking this question. Is the Christian Yelich trade, does that have a chance to go down in history alongside Frank Robinson and Lou Brock trades as one of the most one-sided deals in history? What do you think?
Well, a little early for that, but it's ridiculous how good he has been.
Baseball Tonight. Subscribe now on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented on Mondays by Randy's Flooring. Randy's Flooring, a proud partner with the Stead Family Children's Hospital at the University of Iowa. You can learn more about their partnership by checking out their website, randysflooring.com, or find them in person in Cedar Rapids or on the Strip in Coralville. Lots to get to here, 1600 AM, the historic main gym heard all across eastern Iowa, as well as 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, the South and North gyms, respectively. We'll chat a little White Sox baseball with Scott Merkin of MLB.com coming up at the bottom of the hour. And congratulations are in order for Sarah in Marion. She is taking home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's, which you can use anytime. We would like to see you there on Thursdays for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com, but not going to tell you how you have to spend the $30 gift card. Coming up tomorrow on the gym class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, they'll have another opportunity for you to take home tickets to see country music star Cody Jinks at the McGrath Amphitheater. That concert set for Saturday, June 1st. He's hitting the road with a stop in Cedar Rapids, the McGrath Amphitheater. Wonderful, wonderful outdoor venue along the banks of the Cedar River in downtown Cedar Rapids. Again, your chance to win tickets to see Cody Jinks coming up tomorrow with Scott and Mark. And if you missed their takes on Tiger Woods or Mike Halas of the Cedar Rapids Gazette stopping by the program today, the Gym Class podcasts are also available at kgymradio.com. There was a lot of discussion on that program, as well as the first 2 hours on this one, about Tiger Woods winning at the Masters yesterday. Why did that win resonate the way that it did with so many people? 319-366-1600. Are you a person like me who found yourself glued to the TV over the weekend? Maybe you're not necessarily a golf fan, but you knew something was going on. You knew this was history. You knew you had to watch it. I want to know why. I want to know what it was about this particular event and this particular guy, this flawed individual who used to be really easy to root against. What was it about Saturday and Sunday that had us sitting in front of the TV pulling for him? 319-366-1600. Use the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line or pick up the phone and give us a call.
I feel like we all have that one friend or acquaintance that is a flawed person that sometimes you find very difficult to defend, where they go out and they say something or they do something, or sometimes they will treat someone a certain way, and there are flaws there. And that's why when you look at Tiger Woods, his story, he was such, as Armin Kintain said, a machine. You didn't know anything about him. You couldn't connect to him. It felt like he was above you. He was on a different pedestal before all of the things that we knew about him and were released and unceremoniously found out by the public on Thanksgiving years ago. But now that he hit rock bottom and has bounced back the way that he has, it almost feels like that friend who is sort of a flawed person, but you have their back because you know that they've learned from things. They've grown from their own mistakes. And honestly, that's such a huge life lesson. I'm not going to get preachy here, but that's everyone's life, right? You make you're going to make mistakes. You're going to screw up. And if you don't learn from them, you're going to keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. And if you don't take responsibility for them, the same thing's going to happen. And there are plenty of people out there that continue to make those mistakes and blame them on other people. And finally, it feels like Tiger Woods, a switch flipped where everything went against him. He paid all of his dues. He was a laughingstock. He was to a point in his life where you didn't just wonder whether he was going to play golf again. You wondered whether or not, A, he was going to be healthy enough to be a father, or B, he was going to be addicted to painkillers the rest of his life. And he found a way.
Don't forget the sex.
And sex. And he found a way out of all of that. So by this story happening, him getting out of where he was, he's now, for the first time in his life, relatable to all of us when he never was before.
Colin on the Hurting and Stocker Jewelers text line says, we all love a comeback story despite circumstances, and his fall from grace was so sharp. Despite flaws, his medical comeback is beyond impressive in itself. This is a guy who had, I dipped into Mel Kuhn Jr. speak there. This is a guy. He had spinal fusion surgery, which sounds exactly as daunting as it is. Multiple back issues. And he himself, 2 years ago, pretty much declared, hey, maybe it's over. Maybe I'm done.
He just wanted to get back to the point where he was living without as much pain as possible, because he was to the point where he could barely get out of bed.
And then within the last year, you started to see glimpses. He was in contention at some pretty big events.
Right.
And
then the PGA Championship, he was right there with Brooks Koepka in the final round.
And again, I don't want to belabor the point here, but if you ask random guy on the street who Brooks Koepka is, you probably aren't going to have somebody be able to tell you much about them. Maybe some people will be like, I think he's a golfer. I think I've heard of him before. I think he's a golfer. You ask a random grandmother who Tiger Woods is. I bet you she knows who he is. And that's golf's problem here. And we've talked about it on the program a number of times in the past. And I do feel like I'm walking on eggshells around here. And I hate that feeling because I'm not maybe the most qualified guy to talk about golf, but at the same time, they don't pay me to read the phone book here, okay? So I've got an opinion, and I'm going to give it. And golf guy may not like that opinion, but your sport is nothing without Tiger Woods. Nothing, okay? And look, if you asked Zach Johnson or any of those guys, Bernard Langer or anybody that greeted Tiger Woods coming off the 18th green yesterday in Augusta, what he means to that. The reason those guys are making millions of dollars is because of the guy who wears the red shirt on Sundays, because he elevated the entire sport to a level where people wanted to watch it on TV, where sponsors wanted to pour money into advertising on those televised events. Without Tiger Woods, what is golf other than background noise on Sundays? I use my dad as an example. My dad's not really a sports guy. For whatever reason, he puts the NASCAR races on Sunday in the background. Right. He doesn't really pay attention, but it's background noise. Well, golf is NASCAR without the engines vrooming.
Yeah, it's where people, I mean, before Tiger Woods, it's where people turned it on when they wanted to take a nap on a Saturday. It would calm them down if it wasn't background noise.
I understand the passion of golf fans for their sport, and maybe there's a little territorialism here. We talked on Friday about hockey fans and soccer fans and how sometimes when something that you like, the sport that you like, gets sort of popular or people come around to it that you feel have no business being anywhere near or interested in your sport, there's a little jealousy that kicks in, I think. Like, You're a real fan. These people are just, they're pretenders. They're just watching. They don't understand what they're watching. I knew what I was watching yesterday. I was watching history. And to an entire generation, I'm 38. I will be 39 in 3 days. Hint, hint. Everybody in the building, hint, hint. My generation, okay? Mike Halas had that great piece about Tiger Woods in Coal Valley, Illinois, at the old tournament in the Quad Cities before it was the John Deere Classic. 1997, I'm 17 years old. Tiger Woods has been a major player on the sports scene, not just the PGA, but the sports scene globally, basically my entire adult life.
Since he was an amateur.
Since he was at Stanford, and this was for my generation. I think, I don't want to speak for an entire generation. I mean, I don't want to be that that full of myself here, but I'm going to speak for an entire generation. That was watching sort of a bookend, I think, yesterday, where we saw him, we watched him when he was great. We watched him grow the game of golf to the point where
it is right now.
These guys on tour, a lot of them started out and wanted to be the next Tiger Woods.
Well, I mean, I've made this point a couple of times, but you bring up the fact that they're making all that money. Yes, clearly that is almost all Tiger Woods' imprint. But like I've brought up, these outstanding athletes, these guys who are just jacked, who are directly trying to emulate their game after him. And I think it was Jim Nance who said that they're like the spawn of Tiger Woods, these guys, where he birthed them as a golfer.
Tiger joked that even Phil Mickelson is working out
right
now, and it's because of Tiger's dedication to the sport and the things that he did to drive himself. And again, we had Armin Katane with us at 5 o'clock earlier tonight. It's not too often that a program in the state of Iowa, let alone Eastern Iowa, has a guest of the magnitude of Armin Katane, who was on with Colin Cowherd earlier today and on with us in the afternoon. And yeah, I'm patting myself on the back and tooting our own horn. And I about fell out of the chair yesterday when Kyle sent the text message.
I almost drove off the road.
We got, don't drive distracted.
I saw it pop up on my GPS. It was the text. I promise I didn't look at my phone. It was on the screen.
What a great get. The guy who wrote the definitive book on Tiger Woods, putting into perspective. And if you missed some of the great things that he had to say about what that victory meant yesterday, our podcast will be available shortly at kgymradio.com. But why did that resonate with so many people of so many different ages? I said my generation, but there are certainly an older generation that I think there's that reverence there for the record. And he is now one step closer to Jack Nicklaus's 18 major victories. He's now three away from tying. Jack Nicklaus himself, who shared his thoughts and how this was great for the game of golf. And then you have younger people who, I don't want to say they don't really know, but they don't know that Tiger. They've never seen that look before that you got glimpses of, especially when they're playing 12 and his playing partners are putting balls into Ray's Creek. And Tiger, there was the old glimpse of that arrogant Tiger Woods. Like, I know how to play this hole. I know how to play this course. You guys have no business being on this course with me right now. And it was fun while it lasted, but it's time to finish this thing. It's time to step on your throats. And it was that sort of cutthroat approach to the game that has and still does turn a lot of golf fans off from him. But at the same time, you have to recognize greatness. And he's great. He was great. He's not at that level anymore. But this is watching Michael Jordan with the Wizards still going out and occasionally scoring 50 points a night. Well, you know you're not guaranteed 50 a night from him, but you buy the ticket just to be in the building in case it happens.
I made the comparison earlier, and on the Hurtin and Stocker text line 7980, nothing beats Tiger to share that moment with his kids for the first time. And also the kids of this generation, where people our age and older, people my age and older, will tell the youngsters, try to explain and try to describe how dominant he was and how much fun it was to watch him when he was in his prime, but nothing really does it justice. And this is the only equivalent that I could come up with. I always hear from my parents and their friends about how unbelievable it was to watch Bo Jackson play.
I love this analogy earlier today when you mentioned it to me.
This sort of would be the equivalent of Bo Jackson coming back from all of those injuries in the early 90s, returning to form in the early 2000s for that next generation that never really had a chance to see him because the injuries got to him before he had a chance to show how good he was at either sport.
And winning an MVP in baseball, right, and maybe getting to the Super Bowl in football. I mean, yes, injuries derail 95% of pro careers. Very few guys, when they suffer... I would be lying if I didn't say I was concerned about Chris Bryant and his shoulder, because he still is not the same hitter that he was when he first came up with the Cubs in 2015. Injuries throw everything off, and this guy didn't just stub his toe. This guy had spinal fusion surgery and multiple back problems, and then he overcame addiction and overcame his personal life being spread across the tabloids. And I've never been a fan of his, but there was something about Thursday, which started off as a little bit of basically making fun of the sport of golf a little bit. I will readily admit that, because people only really are interested in what Tiger's doing. That's why they pay attention. When Tiger doesn't make the cut, ratings go bloop. And he plays well enough on Thursday that you're like, wait a minute, let's come back tomorrow and see what's going on. Is he going to make the cut? Is he going to play through the weekend? Because it sure looks like it. And then he positions himself near the top of the leaderboard.
That Friday afternoon, my goodness.
You knew you were tuning in on Saturday. And the ratings show
Saturday.
The ratings on Saturday were 5% higher than the Masters broadcast last year. Smashed previous ratings. And yesterday, even with the weather and teeing off in the morning as opposed to the afternoon, like 3-4 mil, they get a 3.4 share in the ratings for a replay when everybody knew the results. Nobody's watching any other golfer. And all due respect, all deference to Dustin Johnson, the number one golfer in the world, a replay of Dustin Johnson winning the 2019 Masters is not going to draw a 3-4 in the ratings.
Did you hear
Did
you hear the interview that Dustin Johnson did, I think maybe a hole before Tiger Woods was finishing up his round? He was asked about his day, and he said, you know what, that was fun. I'm going to be the first one to admit it. There's certainly a difference between the roar that I get and a Tiger roar. And every golfer knew it, and it seems as though some of them sort of either not necessarily enjoyed it, but were able to stand up to him. And that's why I said that it makes it so much more entertaining now that he's not, everybody he plays against just doesn't roll over and cave to him. Now, it happened yesterday, Francesco Molinari and Tony Finau and some of those guys, Patrick Cantlay, who was in the lead for about 5 minutes, they fell apart. But we've seen in the past that some of these guys are finally able to stand up to him, and that makes it more entertaining.
7070 on the Hurtin and Stocker Jewelers text line says, I'm not sure that's true. Tiger hasn't been relevant for quite a while now. Huh? Tiger Woods will always be relevant. And that was my point last Thursday, was we're going to do a Masters update every 10 minutes, and the update is going to be what Tiger's score is. There are countless people who will not watch another round of golf this year, but they tend to tune into the Masters because the Masters is an event. And among those people, a subset will only watch if Tiger is playing and playing well. He's must-see TV, and the ratings bear that out. Tiger Woods is always going to be relevant. Even when he wasn't, you still were watching. Part of it was schadenfreude for a number of people, the people that sort of resent what Tiger Woods did to the game of golf. That's what I don't get. I don't get the resentment about making golf more popular.
That doesn't make a whole ton of sense.
There seems
especially for the players, because now they're making way more money than they ever would before.
Right. And it seems to me that if you like something, you would want it to be popular. You want it to be... Nobody wants their favorite restaurant to go out of business. Like, I love eating there, but I really hope nobody else shows up and eats there. And then the next thing you know, you're the only person eating there at a table by yourself, and there's a closed sign on the door the next time you go back to eat a meal there. You go, I don't get it. The food here was great. Well, this is my favorite. I love this game. I just don't want anybody else playing it with me. I don't want anybody else interested in it with me. And we mentioned hockey guy is sort of like that. Soccer fan is sort of like that. There's a subset of drinkers out there. If you're familiar with Pappy Van Winkle, which is a very popular bourbon, there's snob beer snobs. Well, I like this. I don't want it to be too popular because then it's going to be harder for me to get my hands on. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Introduce your friends to something that you like. If you like it, try to grow it. That's how I love baseball. I know a lot of people don't. I try to grow the things that I like. I don't tell people, this is bad. You don't want to go see the next Mike Trout at the Colonels. No, don't do that.
I think that's a big part of it. I try not to be the person that hates on greatness, that tries to diminish something that's the best. I've never understood it with LeBron James. I've never understood it and with Tom Brady, and I certainly don't understand it with Tiger Woods. There's this idea above everything that everyone should be equal, that everybody's on the same playing field, that Brooks Koepka and Francesco Molinari are great golfers too. Yeah, sure, they are. And they're standing up to Tiger Woods, but they have not accomplished what he has. Nobody has. Now, Jack Nicklaus has more majors, and he is a very accomplished golfer. But I Tiger Woods, in my opinion, is the greatest golfer who ever lived, the most influential golfer who ever lived. And when he was at his most dominant, we will never see anything quite like it, and revolutionize the game the way that nobody else ever has. And yes, he was a jerk. There is no question about that. And I'm not even going to go back down and try to relitigate how he's changed in Tiger 2.0. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to hate him just because he's better than everyone else and is getting the credit for being better than everyone else, because he was.
70-70 is dying on the hill that Tiger Woods does not drive ratings anymore. Sure, he's relevant, but I don't think he's moving ratings right now. This weekend, it's been over 10 years. Hate greatness, he's won one major in the last 10 years. He was great.
He's the sixth-ranked golfer in the world right now. He's won 15 majors. And this is the thing that I think even golf fans will agree with me. That diminishes how difficult it is to win a major. Like, to say that, okay, well, he has to win a major just to be back. I thought he was back a year ago, and that's what a lot of golf people are saying right now. He went toe-to-toe with Brooks Koepka in the PGA Championship, nearly won that. He was in contention in last year's Masters. He's been playing better golf than we ever thought that he would coming back from where he came from. And now he's won a major again. He's back.
The Saturday ratings were 5% higher than last year's Saturday ratings for the Masters.
It's the Saturday ratings were the highest-rated golf broadcast in 4 years. The Saturday ratings.
The Sunday, and this is playing with numbers here because they don't normally play in the morning, but the highest-rated morning broadcast in 34 years in the sport yesterday. The replay earned a 3.4 rating, the third highest golf broadcast to date on any network this year, behind only Saturday's live third round and Sunday's final round. So the top three broadcasts in golf, and yes, it is early in the PGA calendar this year, but the top three broadcasts ratings-wise are Saturday, Sunday, and Sunday's replay. Yeah, you're right. Tiger's not driving. That's all the Francesco Molinari and Patrick Cantwell fan. Cantwell.
Yeah, I think so.
Brooks Koepka, great golfer.
Shoffley. Xander Shoffley.
Nobody. They've got their folly. Sure they do. Tiger's got a legion. Nobody's writing books about those guys. Nobody's. Okay. It's an interesting hill to die on. I will say that. Let's go to the phone lines in Cajun Troy. Let's weigh in on Tiger. Troy, you got about a minute.
Okay, hey, listen. The people who hate Tiger are going to hate Tiger, so you don't even worry about that. Just like you were saying, when people are going to hate Tom Brady, I don't like Duke. Guess what? I don't watch him. So if you don't like him, don't watch him. Your ratings, you know, we don't care. Listen, it was a wonderful thing. Tiger has nothing for me personal, nothing whatsoever. He entertains me. I love watching him. I love his thing. Even the golfers were saying how, you know, Captain said, my God, he's good. And this man grind yesterday. He said in his interview, I will not pick up a golf club today because I am hurting. He said it was a grind out there. And I love it. Yes, you know, they thought he had, yeah, for 10 years, right? No, 11 years he didn't win, but it doesn't matter. But if he was in a thing, I watched the first thing. And when he didn't make the cut, I turned it off. I didn't watch it. I like him. I like watching him. I like the other guys around him. This weekend was fantastic. Those top guys who played against him yesterday, they loved it. They know that, like you say, Dustin Johnson, there's not a roar like the Tiger's roar, you know? And that's the excitement of the game. So if you don't like him, turn him off. When I don't like watching someone, I don't watch him. So I'm happy for him. He never has to win another tournament in his life, as far as I'm concerned. He, you know, and if he wants to go after Jack, do it. But otherwise, what he did yesterday will go down in history. If Michael Jordan had social media, the people where people love him, they wouldn't love him because of the shit that Michael Jordan did that none of us knew. So, hey, I'm sorry about the F word, but that's...
I didn't hear anything. There's this theory in politics that you can't always trust the poll numbers because someone will tell you, well, that's despicable. There's no way I would vote. And then when you pull the curtain and you know that no one can tell who you're voting for, that you'll vote for who you want. And in my mind, that carries over to some of these people who are saying that they don't like Tiger, they don't watch because of him. But in their living room, when no one else is around, I think they're watching Tiger Woods.
Absolutely.
Whether they're watching to see him fail, but they're watching him. He drives ratings. I don't care if he hasn't won in a million years. He won yesterday. 6:30. We will take a quick timeout. When we come back, Kyle's going to get you a big board update. And Scott Merkin will be with us of MLB.com. We'll talk a little White Sox baseball. White Sox 5-9. But dare I say, the most exciting 5-9 team in baseball, Eloy Jimenez and the White Sox, are doing good things on the south side of Chicago. We'll touch base with Scott next.
Couples strolling arm in arm would stop to see the display, pointing at the sparkling beauties inside, and little ones would lean in eagerly to see the wonders within. As the decades have passed, the colors behind the glass have changed from gold to silver to platinum and back again, moving with the years, reflecting current trends and classic style. The windows at Hertin & Stocker Jewelers have always been a centerpiece in downtown Iowa City, something to look forward to and share. And now, those windows are even bigger and more wondrous. The Dickens family will create even more beautiful displays with diamonds, colored stones, earrings, necklaces, bracelets, and rings. So come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertin & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then, step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Are you remodeling your home? Do your window sashes show signs of rot, or do you feel drafts through closed windows? Replace those old windows with the all-new Alexander Lumber Window Line. All the windows in this line come standard with premium features, including a flex screen, lifetime warranties, and much more, in an array of colors and finishes. Learn more about this new, affordable, high-quality, stylish line of windows at Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street in Iowa City, and at Alexander Lumber, just 2 miles down the road at 2802 Independence Drive.
As a business person, you know that security is always a concern, but now it can be easily integrated into your computer network. Network Computer Solutions now offers turnkey security systems designed and built for business. From cameras and entry systems to secure video storage, NCS makes it easy for you to keep an eye on your business. NCS knows business networks, and they know how to utilize networks to keep your business safe. Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Ever wanted to play golf at the iconic Pinehurst Resort? Now is your chance.
The Winco Cup Contest brought to you by Dell Small Business. Listen now through April 24th to win. Only with Golic and Wingo. No purchase necessary. Go to ESPNradio.com for official contest rules.
It is, by the way, Jackie Robinson Day in Major League Baseball, April 15th, celebrating the anniversary of Jackie Robinson's debut. And I can't help but think in the back of my mind with Tiger winning yesterday and Jackie Robinson today, that maybe there's a narrative that perhaps some are overlooking when it comes to Tiger and his pursuit of Jack Nicklaus. But Mike Halas of the Cedar Rapids Gazette may have touched on that a little bit on his gym class appearance earlier today. Again, the podcast available if you missed that at kgymradio.com. Scott Merkin of MLB.com is on the way soon. But first, we've got to get you a big board update. Big board updates on the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, brought to you by our friends at Alexander Lumber. You can check them out at their temporary location in Iowa City. Alexander Lumber, 2802 Independence Drive. Here's Kyle Mann.
The Iowa baseball team went on the road and took 2 of 3 from Purdue over the weekend to win its third straight Big Ten series. Cole McDonald allowed just 1 run in 6 innings while the offense scored early and often in the Game 1 victory on Friday. And then the Hawkeyes used 4 runs in the 8th inning to take Game 2 of a doubleheader on Saturday. Iowa next hosts Northern Illinois tomorrow afternoon. Iowa State football got a commitment over the weekend from 3-star offensive lineman Hayden Pauls of Emporia, Kansas. The junior 6'4" and upwards of 260 pounds, and he chose the Cyclones over offers from Iowa, Nebraska, and Oklahoma State, among others. Tiger Woods, of course, is your 2019 Masters champion, but Cedar Rapids native Zach Johnson finished 5 over and collected a cool $26,000. The Colonels beat Burlington 8-3 on Friday and 2-1 on Saturday, but fell short of the sweep with a 6-2 loss yesterday. Interestingly enough, at 4-7, each of the Colonels' last 3 losses have come in games in which they outhit their opponent. This homestand continues this evening, starting a 3-game series with Quad Cities. Quad Cities actually acting as the home team because of flooding, and that game's set to start here any minute now. The Rough Riders are beginning postseason play tonight, hosting Team USA. Puck drop for that one set for about just a half an hour. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the Twins and Blue Jays on the North Gym. We'll join them very early in that game. They should also be getting started any minute here. And then at 9 o'clock on the South and Main Gyms will be Game 2 between the Clippers and Warriors in the Western Conference playoffs.
Mitchell Garver batting leadoff for the Twins, the first Twins catcher to do so since Butch Winniger back in 1980. And we will get Scott Merkin of MLB.com with us shortly. The college basketball news to pass along today. Zion Williamson, finally making what everybody sort of knew official, but Zion Williamson leaving Duke for the NBA draft. What do you think his chances of getting drafted are? Pretty solid?
Yeah, I think they're decent.
Yeah. 319-366-1600.
There is an award going on.
Someone out there. Yeah, I never said in the NBA. Someone out there is going to take that seriously. I was listening to the sports talk radio show, and they didn't even know that he's the number one pick. God, that hurts. 319-366-1600. Joined now on the phone by Scott Merkin of MLB.com. As we promised our listeners, we'd talk a little White Sox baseball. Scott, the White Sox are 5-9, but Eloy Jimenez had his coming out party this weekend in New York. They might be the most exciting 5-9 team in baseball right now.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, but I think both Chicago teams are 5-9. Both Chicago teams are second from last, and both Chicago teams are four games out of first, whatever the heck that means, 14 games in. But I do think that, and I said this to a few people, that whatever their results are this year, whether they stun people and compete for a playoff spot, which is probably unlikely, but or whether they push for 500 or win 75, 76 games, this is going to be an exciting team. It's going to be a fun team to watch. Jimenez is going to be fun to watch all year. Moncada seems to have kind of figured out after last year's experience. You have Giolito, you know, sort of going in the right direction. Now, Tim Anderson has been tremendous. I mean, he would be certainly an all-star right now based on, you know, 14 games. But he even started to pick it up as of last year. So, and then you have guys like Dylan Cease in the minors, who I saw this weekend in Indianapolis, and Luis Robert, who's coming fast, Nick Madrigal. So there's a lot of things to be excited about, and there's a lot of things at the big league level. This is the first time in a couple of years where I think more of the attention – or as much of the attention is going to be on the big league team as the what's going on in the minor leagues.
Now, you mentioned Eloy Jimenez, and I know that there were a lot of fans patiently waiting for that first extra base hit. It came. They were patiently waiting for the first home run. How much life did that two-home run performance in New York inject into the fan base?
Oh, I think the fan base is, you know, pretty much into him. But you're right. I mean, you could just see the response on Friday. You know, suddenly it went from, you know, well, he's got a good approach. We think everything is going well. But, you know, where's the power going to be? And then suddenly that transformed to, holy cow, he hit like 900 feet worth of home runs on Friday night. And can you believe that Theo Epstein traded him for Jose Quintana? What the heck is going? What the heck was he thinking there? This guy's going to be a Hall of Famer. You know, so it did swing the pendulum. I don't think anyone was ever worried about Jimenez, because you could just see, even if, you know, whatever level of expertise you have in analyzing hitting, from being a hitting coach or being just a fan who watches, you can see Jimenez has a plan up there. You know, there's no question. Like all the good hitters do, he's not going up there just swinging kind of willy-nilly. But it was good to see the home runs. And, you know, in the past, he's had stretches where he's at a little bit of a funk and then gets a home run or something, a big hit like that, and it takes off. So it'll be interesting to see. It's still a little chilly tonight, but as the weather warms up over the next few weeks, and, you know, they're playing the Royals, the Tigers, and the Orioles in their next 16 games. It'll be interesting to see how they respond in that, and how Jimenez plays in that stretch.
You already brought him up, but the other piece to that Jose Quintana trade with the Cubs, Dylan Cease, is looking pretty big league ready down there at Triple A Charlotte. How long before we see him at the big league level?
I think it's going to be a little bit. I think, you know, they want him to get some experience. Remember, his innings high is 124. So on one end, you can say he needs a single season inning high, I should say. And that was last year. So on one hand, you say get some experience. On the other hand, you can look and say, well, he looks pretty darn good. He looks pretty polished. I watched him pitch yesterday in 47-degree temperatures with rain, and he looked great. You know, 98-mile-an-hour fastball, really kind of a pitching technician, talking about, like, the shape of his slider and his curveball. It commands four pitches. So you can say, you know, if he's going to throw innings this year, why waste them at that level? But – yeah, you know, I think it'll be a little bit. I think it'll be, if he comes up this year, which I think he will, it'll be something along the lines of the Michael Kopech, Ronaldo Lopez, Lucas Giolito path to the majors the last few years, which means, you know, probably 8 to 10 starts, unless there's something surprising and the team really gets into it where they need him. But I would think somewhere along those lines.
What are we making of this Tim Anderson start?
I mean, Tim worked really hard. It's pretty amazing. Everyone should have the results of hard work that he does. Tim worked very hard last year in terms of early spring training work and pregame work to become a better defensive player. And I would say for the last two-thirds of last season, he was probably one of the better, as good as any defensive shortstop around, if not, you know, better than most of them. And then this year, he put a lot of work into the offseason. He moved to a south suburb of Chicago with his wife and daughter, and now he has two daughters. And worked a lot, spent a lot of time working at Guaranteed Rate Field in the offseason, worked with Curtis Granderson at UIC here, and fixed his timing from what he thinks, and he's off to a great start. Now, I don't think he's going to hit 400. I don't know if he's going to hit 300, but I do think that he's kind of figured something out offensively and is going to be productive. And one thing about Tim is he's fearless. So I predicted early in the season I thought he'd go 20-40 this year, 20 home runs, 40 stolen bases. And I'm still not backing out for next. I think when he gets on, he's going to make things happen and run as much as possible.
Scott Merkin, who covers the Chicago White Sox for MLB.com, joining us on the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. How about Carlos Rodon at this point? Do the White Sox know yet what they have in him?
Yeah, you know, I should have mentioned him with some of the young, exciting guys up here. You know, it's interesting. I don't think he knows what he has in him yet, because he told me in a talk I had with him last week that, you know, he feels like he's pitched as a shell of himself up until this year, because he's always had some sort of injury that was finally rectified with the arthroscopic shoulder surgery he had at the end of 17. So now he's healthy, and I think it's going to be, you know, a pretty interesting stretch this year for him to see what he can do. I mean, he pitched great yesterday, and, you know, I think he's definitely a top of the rotation guy. I don't know if he's necessarily your ace type, but we'll see how that plays out.
Lucas Giolito and Reynaldo Lopez, the bumps, are they expected? Are you expecting growing pains, or is it concerning at all, especially with the way that Lopez has pitched?
Yeah, I think Lopez is a little surprising because, you know, regardless of who he was facing at the end of last year, he was utterly dominant his last seven starts. I think he had like a 1.38 ERA, and I think he only allowed two or three home runs during that stretch. And he just has not been, there's no way around it, he's not been good at the start of the season. So, you know, we'll see how he picks it up. He's one of those guys like Moncada who is very calm, whether it's good or bad, doesn't seem to get too down on himself. And, you know, he's working hard to fix things and just has had, you know, bad location. You know, they were talking about his last start, which I think was last Wednesday, I guess, against a very, very good Tampa Bay team, that he was missing location by, you know, sizable amounts, and that was leading to the long balls and just the problems in general. And Giolito, you know, has had, you know, one really good start where he took a no-hitter into the seventh against the Royals, one bad start, I believe, against Seattle, and then I think a pretty good start Friday against the Yankees, pitching in really, you know, pouring rain for the first pitch. So I think he, you know, he's another one who, like Moncada, put in a lot of work in the offseason to kind of get things right after a really bad 18. And I think he's on target. And again, this is kind of still, you know, a development stage in the rebuild. They're trying to figure out who they have and where they fit going forward. And, you know, eventually it's going to be who can be used to move to and maybe fill some needs with some higher impact veterans elsewhere around the diamond. So, you know, not all these guys, as is the case, every rebuild. Look at, you know, the Cubs in 16. They traded away a guy who's now the starting shortstop for starting second baseman for the Yankees, right, in Gleyber Torres. But they don't win a World Series without Aroldis Chapman in that bullpen. So the same will probably happen at some point with the Sox, where as much as people are attached to these prospects, they're going to have to move some of them to kind of fill some voids here and there.
And they did that a couple years ago with Fernando Tatis Jr. going to the Padres for James Shields. How much is there going to be seller's remorse on that trade for years to come?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, I think they went forward at that point. They felt like they still had a chance to win that year. And, you know, Tatis was a young international signee. And you do talk to some people who worked with him, even at the lower levels, and said you could see that he was, you know, supremely talented. But, you know, I mean, James had a good year last year for the Sox, but the year they got him when they thought they could be a contender, it didn't work. He was not very good that year. He got hit hard. And, you know, now it's one of those. I remember Kenny Williams talking in 06. When they traded Chris Young, the outfielder, for Javier Vasquez, he said, hey, we needed Vasquez. We needed arms. You know, we knew how many pressure innings these guys threw last year, and it was going to affect them. He said, but I'm going to have a tough time looking at SportsCenter every now and then when I see Chris Young, you know, mash up there. And Chris Young had a nice career, and I'm sure Rick Hahn is probably having the same thing watching, you know, Fernando Tatis star for a first place Padres team. And again, I'm saying first place, and it's 14 games in, 15 games in, 16 games in, whatever it is. So we'll see what happens come All-Star break or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, Tatis is a guy I think they're gonna regret giving up, obviously. But, you know, they have other young guys who need to step up now.
You mentioned how it's so early in the season, but what are your thoughts on the AL Central at this point? Because to me, this looks like a wide-open division, especially with all of the injuries that Cleveland is suffering with, and Jose Ramirez is off to a slow start. It doesn't look like the Indians are going to be able to run away with this division this year.
I think Minnesota might be the best team in that division. You know, Minnesota seems recently to have been kind of a one-season-on, one-season-off team, so this would be their year where they're on again. And I, you know, I think pitching will be a little bit of an issue for them, but they seem to have the lineup, whereas Cleveland's flipped in that, you know, they have the great starting group. You know, Carrasco and Bauer and Kluber, huge loss in Clevenger, because I think at this point, when you factor in the work that's been put in already by Kluber and Bauer and Carrasco, that Clevenger might be the best arm of that whole group. So that's a tremendous loss for the Indians, you know, for whatever it is, a month or 2 months. But yeah, I think it's open. I'm not sure if the Sox are in that group yet, you know, where you can say, well, they're contending. They're probably closer with the Tigers and Royals, who are in the earlier stages of a rebuild this time around. But yeah, I mean, there's going to be some wins there, and who knows if they get on some kind of run. I mean, again, I hate to point to the North Siders for Sox fans, but 2015, no one saw that coming. I think they were a team that was three over at the All-Star break and ended up, you know, finishing 26-27 over because of a great second half. So you never know. You never know what's going to happen. I don't believe this is a year the Sox look at as contention, but they certainly look at a year as that they should be competitive. This is not a team. If they lost 100 games this year, I think they would be disappointed unless there were some significant injuries that slowed them down along the way.
Heath, Phil Meyer, and Irvin Santana tonight at Kauffman Stadium on Jackie Robinson Night. Scott, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much.
Sure, guys. Anytime. Take care.
Scott Merkin, who covers the White Sox for MLB.com. How about that? The Twins. You can hear them all season long on 107.5 FM, the best team in the division, according to Scott, and we will join that game, the Twins game in progress tonight on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. As a matter of fact, Phil Miller, who covers the Twins for the Star Tribune in the Twin Cities, is set to join us on the program tomorrow. Tim Anderson, big grand slam.
Hit ball.
Grand slam yesterday, playing outstanding baseball. Eloy Jimenez starting to come around. And again, they're 5-9, but they're an exciting 5-9 because you can see the future on the horizon, especially with Dylan Cease down. The reason I asked about Cease in the minors is they kept Kopech down so long last year, and then they brought him up, and he succumbs to the injury. It's just you never know when a pitcher is going to have an arm issue. I mean, they shouldn't be handled the same, in my opinion, as a position player. A pitcher, get him up there and get as much out of him as you can, because almost all of them are going to have an arm issue or an injury issue at some point. So why not get him up there and try to max? But I understand what the White Sox are doing. 6:48, we need to take a timeout, our final timeout of the night. We come back, one of the texters bringing up Las Vegas and the bath that it took on Tiger Woods winning the Masters yesterday. Vegas, I think, will be okay. We'll explain next.
Come check out the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring products in Eastern Iowa and save big during the Randy's Flooring Love Your Pet Sale. Now through May 4th, take up to 20% off pet-friendly flooring products from some of the best manufacturers in the industry. Carpet, tile, luxury vinyl, and much more. If it's a pet-friendly flooring product, it's on sale. The Randy's Flooring Love Your Pet Sale. Visit randysflooring.com to learn more and save big on your next flooring purchase. Now through May 4th.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh, for every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com.
Always gonna be the best day ever.
Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Paul. I know what you're thinking. Oh, great. Another wireless ad. I know how you feel. And it seems like they're always full of this complicated, tricky language about their networks and offers and blah, blah, blah. Well, Sprint is going to do things differently and let you decide for yourself with their new 100% total satisfaction guarantee. Try it for 30 days, love it, or your money back. See? Simple. Now get both Sprint's unlimited plan and the all-new Samsung Galaxy S10e included for just $35 per month per line for 5 lines. So switch now. Visit your local Sprint store, Sprint.com, or call 800-SPRINT-1 today.
30-day guarantee with new line of service. S10e, 128GB, $15 a month after $16.25 a month credit for 18 months credit applied within 2 bills. If canceled early, remaining balance due. Unlimited basic after 6:30/20, pay $32 a month per line with autopay. Data deprioritization during congestion. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Speed maximums, use rules, $30 activation fee, and restrictions apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with Castrol Edge Full Synthetic Motor Oil. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, get 5 quarts and a Wix filter for $33.99. Plus, get a $15 gift card and 150 O-Rewards points. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you'll never pay full price for gas again.
Even if my car horn sounds like this?
Sure.
Even if I always blast techno in my car?
Yeah.
Even if I drive for miles with the turn signal on?
Of course, even then. It's time to save 5 cents per gallon or more on every fill, every day with instant gold status. Visit FuelRewards.com to join now and save today. Active gold status required. See FuelRewards.com/gold for details. At participating Shell stations only. Limit 20 gallons.
Twins and the Blue Jays open up a four-game series Monday night here at Target Field. Hi, this is Corey Provis, Twins and Toronto, on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
So we talked last week about the $85,000 futures wager that was placed on Tiger Woods to win the Masters at, I believe it was 14-1,
yes.
The William Hill Sportsbook took that action and will pay out $1.2 million. It is their largest golf loss ever, the entire day, because there wasn't just one person that had money on Tiger.
There were plenty.
Their largest golf loss ever. William Hill profited $300 million last year. I think they'll be okay.
I think they'll survive.
I think they'll make it. We'll join up on 107.5 FM with the Minnesota Twins tonight as they take on the Blue Jays. Phil Miller of the Minneapolis Star Tribune is with us to discuss Twins baseball and the start to the season. Coming up tomorrow, you'll also hear from Iowa assistant coach LeVar Woods, and we'll have a whole lot more for you. Don't go anywhere, and if you missed anything from the podcast, check it out at kgymradio.com.
The Adam Schefter Podcast.
Huge cost to absorb to get rid of a great player like Antonio Brown in a franchise.